On the earth was the price tag of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And it doesn't say some takes 10 drops and some takes 2. It's the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
It's important to get that, guys, because we lose our sense of value and significance in life. And sometimes we get beat down by life. And unfortunately, if we don't see the truth about the gospel, which I'm going to make very clear and hopefully just confirm things that are done and said and sung in this house. And I didn't come here to assume to know anything that you guys don't know. I just came here to cheer y'all on, to co-labor with and confirm out of the mouths of two or more. Sometimes a man stands up every week called pastor and you expect him to say a certain thing. And then another fella comes in and he's smiling and excited and he says the same thing.
Yeah.
It just does something about nailing it into your heart. And the Lord says that in His Word. He says, out of the mouths of two or more, every word is confirmed and established. Amen? But here's the deal. If we don't understand why God sent His Son, and we don't understand our true value in Him, and we talk about it a lot, and the purpose and motive of God in sending His Son, you get beat down and pressed down and things will define who you are and life speaking way louder than truth and all of a sudden you're doing no better in your life than life is going. And if that doesn't change, sometimes the only reason you come to God is for help to get through that. Instead of transformation and change and all that. See, we didn't come to God for what He can do for us. If you read your Bible, you don't come to God to catch a break. You don't come to God just for a blessing. You don't come to God just to get a prayer answer.
Amen.
You don't come to God just to get your marriage restored.
Amen.
You come to God to give Him everything that you are so that all that He is comes into you and lives through your life.
Yes. Yes.
It's really important. The motive for being a Christian is huge, guys. And I don't know what, you know, I just met everybody. I just met you, right, Pastor? So I'm not assuming when I say this that you guys aren't preaching something. I just know this no matter what folks are preaching, I've learned there's a general mentality that we just gain along the way that somehow we're in this thing for what God can do for us.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of discouraged people on the earth that go to church. You have a lot of Christians that are discouraged and they feel like they didn't get their fair shake and they wonder when God's going to pull through and they wonder when things are going to change, when God's going to make the big move and hand out a new hand or whatever we're thinking. And if that's the only thought you have behind being a Christian, I'm just telling you plain as a friend, you're set up for huge disappointment and confusion.
Come on now. Come on.
You're not a Christian for what God can do for you. You're a Christian for how He can make you more like Him so your light so shines in the earth and makes a difference in the lives of men. You're not here just to get a better job. You're not here. Paul said, there's times I have more than I need. And there's times I don't have enough. But he said, I found that in these things I don't change. I stay the same.
Amen.
Now see, that's exciting to me.
Yes, it is.
It's really exciting. Because if I change, then I have to question why I'm in this thing and what I really see. And all of a sudden, I'm vulnerable to life and circumstances and people and things. And I sing, He's Lord, but everything else is deciding who I am.
Come on now.
And all of a sudden, I'm only as good as it's working out.
Mm.
And actually, that's a form of idolatry. That's making something matter more that doesn't matter most.
Hallelujah.
Come on. To be Lord means supreme over, to govern, the ruling factor.
Yes, yes.
And all of a sudden we say, well, you don't know what my life's like, and you know what I'm going through, and I got this, and I got this, and I got this, and I'd be more if it wasn't for this. But none of those things on the list is Lord.
Come on now.
So there has to be a way to see, to receive grace so things begin to change.
Yes.
So we begin to handle things
yes.
in a different way.
Yes.
I say this almost everywhere I go. I've said it for about 17 years and it hasn't gotten old to me. It's very convicting and it's very sobering and it's on my heart already. And I'll just say it because I was laying in my bed years and years ago and the Lord spoke this to my heart about something I had passed through. And I don't know if you ever woke up to the presence of God or ever woke up to the voice of God. But that morning was very overwhelming. Because I felt like the Lord was laying on me like a blanket. And He was giving me the impression, and this sounds strange to some, but I promise you this is exactly what was happening in my heart. He was giving me the impression that He was pleased with me and proud of me. And I'm like, you hear somebody prophesy that over you, it brings a tear to your eye. When God's laying on you in the morning saying that, you can hardly breathe. You're crying so hard you don't think you're going to survive. When God says, I'm pleased with you, and it's truly God, It's almost more than your humanity can bear. And I'm laying there and I'm trying to live through this. And I said, Lord, what are you doing? I'm not going to be able to function all day. And he brought up this thing that had happened the day before and how I got into the pulpit and preached. And he said, nothing you said had anything to do with that. He said, you didn't use the authority of this pulpit to project a point, project an issue. You stood free before me and free before the people, and you didn't let this thing, because it's a very unfortunate thing that some folks were doing. He said, you didn't bring that into the pulpit, and you didn't preach through that. There was no hidden message. You just preached my heart.
Hallelujah.
And he said, I'm so pleased with that.
Hallelujah.
He said, countless people have used this authority to project their frustrations, to project their angers and their conflicts, and they're preaching over here like hidden message over here, hoping that so and so's listening.
Come on now. Come on.
And the Lord said, you didn't do that at all.
Hallelujah.
And he said, I'm so proud of you, and I'm crying because the Lord Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
He's telling me he's proud of me. That's a pretty good morning.
Yeah.
And here's what he said to me. He said, when you squeeze an orange, see, this is orange. When you squeeze an orange, you expect orange juice.
That's right.
If it was apple juice, it would be weird. He said, why isn't it weird when you squeeze one of my own and get everything but Christ?
Wow.
When you squeeze an orange,
yes,
you expect orange juice. It'd be really weird if it was apple. Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? Wonder if Satan has learned we're not sure why we are what we say we are. Wonder if Satan, the enemy, has just snuck around like a roaring lion, just looking for wrong motives, wrong thinking, lack of understanding. And all of a sudden, good intending people that see their need for a Savior. I'm not talking hypocrites. I'm not talking evil people. Good intending people that see their need for a Savior, recognize His shed blood for the forgiveness of their sins, never gain a true understanding of what they've really become and the why behind their life. And all of a sudden, the same old things are taking advantage of them in the way that seems right to a man. Keeps bringing death. Keeps bringing death. Keeps bringing death. See, you don't know me quite yet. Maybe this weekend. If you keep coming, you'll get to know me pretty quick. But I'm not picking a fight, and I'm not being arrogant right now. God and the devil knows what I'm saying.
Go ahead and squeeze me.
I'm not picking a fight. I'm not asking for trouble. What I'm saying is I'm not living in Christ to survive. I'm living in Christ to shine.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And if you're living in Christ to survive, you're already vulnerable. And you're already watching your day more than your eyes are fixed on Him. And all your prayers are motivated by catching a break and having things go the way you wish, rather than getting to know Him so who He is made known through it all. Hey, look, it's one thing if somebody does you wrong. I think that's happened to everybody in the room. It's another thing when you only know how to respond like Him.
Yes.
Oh, that's so good, man. You like that, don't you?
See, why would we let the word of a man or the action of a man override and blind us from the power of what he said and what he's done? Somehow, guys, and I found this almost in every state I've been, which I've been to every one but about three to preach. We got this general idea that we're in this gospel to survive, to make it to the end, or for a blessing. And that is, I'm going to say this probably with a tape running, that is not why God sent His Son.
That's right.
God sent His Son for our transformation.
That's right.
God sent His Son for new life.
Yes.
For Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Forgive us, Lord.
Now come on, in the beginning, in Genesis, you can find it in Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man. Let us make man. Who made man? Yeah. God. Right? Yes. Let us make man in our
image.
You want to look there with me? It's really fun. I found this 20 years ago, and it stirred my heart. I want you to see this. It's really important to understand the beginning if you're going to walk this thing out. You've got to have a firm foundation. You have to have something here that makes sense to your heart if you're going to apply faith to it. Okay? So here's all I've been taught. Now, I didn't grow up here. I didn't have pastor as my pastor. I didn't have the churches in your area, so I can't speak for your area. But here's all I was taught when I was a young man. By the time I was 20, I quit going to church because I didn't get it. I believed Jesus died on the cross. I actually believed he was a real man. I actually believed he died and suffered. I watched the movies and I would think about it at Easter time. And it made sense to me that he died, that he did this. I didn't doubt that, but I never quite got why. All I was taught was because I'm a sinner and God wants me to go to heaven. And I'm like, why if I'm a sinner? And why does he want me? Is he that lonely that he needs a friend so bad he's willing to just overlook me? Just to accept me? And it didn't make sense why God would die on a cross as Jesus, the Son of God, for my sins. And it's all I ever heard, that Jesus died on the cross to forgive your sins so you could go to heaven. And all I felt like was a guy that continued to sin, and I questioned why he could love me so much, so I could never wrap my heart around his love, even though the cross, it didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense. Did anybody ever have that struggle growing up? Like, where the cross, the message of the cross, didn't impact you, it made you wonder more than it impacted you. Like, people would say stuff like this, and I said, why would God love somebody like me? Did anybody ever think that in the room? How could God love somebody like me? Did anybody ever think that in this room? See, that's a dangerous, uninformed place, because you can't love God first. You have to see His first love. So if you're always questioning God's love, you can never respond in love. If you don't see the love of God and you don't understand the love of God, you'll get reduced to serving the Lord instead of being in relationship with the Lord.
Yes, yes.
And then you'll just do things for Him out of obligatory mentality. You'll just think you owe Him because He paid so much. And then you'll feel like you didn't owe enough and you haven't measured up. And now you're always serving the Lord. The Bible in the Old Testament calls that a concubine. It's not a queen and it's not the bride. It's a concubine. In the Old Testament, they would serve the king and minister to the king. And every once in a while, he'd call their name and they'd brush against the glory of the king. That's people just serving the Lord, serving the Lord. And in a worship service, they feel the goosebump going, oh, he's here. But they don't know him. They don't understand why he would love that side. There's not one person on this earth called to be a concubine. We are the bride of Christ.
Yes, yes.
We're not here to serve him. We're here to become one with him. And becoming one with him, our lives, it seems like, serves him. But it's really not serving him. It's loving him and loving one another. It's laying down your life like he laid down his.
Yes.
I want you to get this. In the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image. All we've known is our image. Be honest with me. I don't know if you think this way, but I've been thinking this way for a while, Pastor. I was trained by a lie. My whole life growing up, I was taught what wasn't his way. I was taught what was a way. I was taught if you're done wrong, you're either angry, mad, vengeful. I was taught it was normal that if somebody laughed at you, you felt bad. If somebody made fun of you, you either become introverted or a fighter. It came as natural to me growing up to live for reputation, to get you to want to notice me, to try to fit in, to feel valued, to be somebody in my little world of influence. Everyone in this room knows what I'm talking about. From the time you were born, you tried to fit in. From the time you were born, you wanted accepted. You wanted love. You wanted somebody to show you that you were important.
Yes.
And if that wasn't happening, you got desperate. You exploited things. You lived expressive. You tried to draw attention as a little kid. When you're feeling that you're not important, you'll act out and try to gain attention, even in bad ways, because there's a desperate drive to feel like somebody.
Yes.
Where did that come from? What happened? Why is it like that? Because God, in the beginning, made us in His image. Well, see, Adam was in God's image. And when Adam ate the tree, the image died. Mm. God said, the day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. What happened? Who Adam was lost. Who Adam was in the Lord was lost. And Adam didn't just sin. He took on the nature of God's enemy and died to what he was. And the Bible says that every man since that day was born into Adam, and you must be born again. And you know what we turn that into? A prayer to go to heaven.
Come on now.
Instead of a transformation of life.
Yes, yes.
Getting back to the beginning, back to the image, back to the love of God.
Yes.
Come on. All across this country, we've made salvation a prayer to go to heaven instead of a new life. Christ. I'm glad my name's in the book, Pastor. Don't hear me wrong. I am not a Christian to go to heaven. I'm a Christian for heaven to come back into me.
Yes.
I'm not waiting for a trumpet to blow and a bus to pick me up someday. He is here. Go preach, say it. The kingdom of God is here.
Yes.
You say, where is it? You're looking at it. It's in me. He said, don't look here, don't look there, for the kingdom of God is within you. Come on, I believe what I'm telling you. My days of hurt, frustration, and offense, and backbiting, and gossip, and jealousy are over. You say, oh, brother, everybody has their moments. No, that's why you have yours. Because you believe that. Take away the runway and the plane can't land. Stop believing that lie. Stop believing, well, that's the way we are. No, that's the way we became when Adam ate the tree. It's not the way I am. Born again. I'm a new creation.
Hallelujah.
Old things have passed. Yes. Behold, all things.
Hallelujah.
I bet he's talking all things. Mm-hmm. I bet it's all things. Mm-hmm. See, Proverbs 4 says, in all you're getting, not some, all. In all you're getting. He doesn't say blessing. He says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Why? We're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Some of us think we're destroyed for the sovereign choice of God. It's not what the Bible says. It says you're destroyed for the lack of knowledge, which means get the knowledge and stop the destruction.
Hallelujah.
Stop believing lies and truth will make us free.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
See who we become and we'll see, receive grace to shine. Come on. If this thing ever becomes about God just giving me a better day, I'll be the most deceived. Because I'll only be as good as the day unfolding. And then everything I have with Him is in question instead of in place.
Amen.
I did not wake up today for my ducks to be in a row. I woke up to be like Him. And I didn't wake up for you to love me. I'm already so loved, it's ridiculous. I woke up to love you. That means you can never again be my problem. Never again. Can you cut me down? Never again. Can you wane my heart, distract me, despair me, discourage me? Are you kidding me? I don't wake up for you to love me. I wake up to love you.
Hallelujah.
Because I've been so loved by God. And I'm going to prove this in Scripture to you so doubtlessly just tonight, but all weekend. But right now, I'm going to show you this thing, okay?
Amen.
Listen, he sat down, the day you eat the tree is the day you surely... Did he fall over dead?
No.
Nope.
Well, then what died? Everybody always says his spirit, but what's that really mean to us? When you say his spirit, in his spirit is everything that God is. So what you're really saying is the spirit of God died in him. So would you agree the image was lost?
Yes.
What's the image of God? How do you define God? How does the Bible know God? God is...
Love.
What is God?
Love.
Watch this. This is so good. He said in 26, let us make man in our image. Look at verse 27. He didn't wait long. He thought about it and he said, let's do it.
Yeah.
In verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. Watch this. So God, this is good, guys. We got to get this. This is the foundation of Christianity. This is why God sent his son. This right here is why God sent his son. He sent his son to get us back to what he created us to be.
Yes.
I was told he died on the cross because I was a sinner. I learned in the Bible the reason he died on the cross is because I was a lost son. He came to restore what was lost. Matthew 18, to save that, not who, to save that which was lost. Guess what was lost? My heritage in the Lord. My inheritance in the Lord. The grace of God to change me, to make me like Him. The image was lost. Jesus came and became what I was on that tree so I can become what He is before the Father.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
All of a sudden the love of God makes sense. And now it's not just some legalistic religious thing. And oh well, Jesus died. I know I've been bad. Well, thank God He forgives me. I hope. And I'll just try to do better.
Amen.
No, He showed me on that cross that that wasn't what I was created to be, or He wouldn't have paid such a radical price to get it off of me.
Thank you, Lord.
He wouldn't be totally innocent, so intense to be totally innocent, so moved by this reality that He would come and do what He did if there wasn't a great truth lying at the root of my created value.
Yes.
He paid a high price for something, not nothing. Come on, you don't pay a high price for nothing.
That's right.
Why would y'all? You say, well, I'm just, no, no, no. You're created for His image. You're identifying with what you've been. You're identifying with where you've been. You're identifying with what you've done or haven't done. And you're making your identity wrap around the life as you know it. He wraps your identity around what He made you to be. And He's never changed. And love has never failed. On your darkest day, He said, I know who you are. I know what's possible. I know what you look like when I'm in you and you're surrendered. That's worth paying for. Come on. It's pretty good news.
Yes, hallelujah.
See, I'm playing it really cool for you guys. I'm way calm tonight. Just first night, don't freak you out.
Go ahead.
No, no. It's all right. There's some people that don't need freaked out. But I promise you I'm alive inside. It's because of the good news. Come on, this is good news.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Good news to a young man. Good news to a young girl. Isn't Jesus died on the cross because you're a sinner and He wants to give you and take you to heaven? They don't understand that kind of love because they've never received that. They've never seen that. Men get treated for what they've done. Men get dealt with for where they've been. We stereotype people. Come on, society, newspapers, magazines.
Yes.
Somebody makes a mistake, publicly apologizes with tears, and media remembers them for the rest of their life for that day.
That's right.
Before they apologize.
That's right.
It's true.
It's
true. And society at large never forgets the misnomers of man. They tarnish people's lives, reputations, and value. And yet God has looked past every sin you and I have ever committed through the precious blood of Jesus. Why? To get His Spirit back in us, to assure to restore us back to the image so we can become love again and walk in that love and let our light so shine before Him.
Yes.
So that the glory of the Lord can cover the earth like the waters cover the sea.
Yes.
We're praying for revival. We're praying for the move of God. And I'm telling you, church, you're the move of God.
Hallelujah.
I can show it to you scripturally. To God, you're the fragrance of Christ. I promise you. It says God works all things together for the good.
Yes.
Right? And there's a nine, and to those who love Him and are called according to His
purpose.
So God obtained you with a purpose. Paul said that I might obtain the very reason He obtained me. Paul's understanding, there's a motive behind God redeeming us.
Yes.
Corinthians says that He always leads us in triumph through Christ Jesus and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge everywhere.
Hallelujah.
That's a Christian. That's not offense. That's not anger, discouragement, frustration, disappointment. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
See? If I wake up and need you to know who I am, then I'm only as good as you're dealing me and seeing me and treating me. What a tragedy that would be, that I'd come and sing Holy is the Lamb every Sunday and then let you decide who I am in whatever vision you see. The cross reveals who I am. You say, well, my spouse hasn't been treating me right. Well, then you should cry for them, because they're the one that's not seeing clear. Don't you take what they're not seeing personal and let them. They don't see. You find what you do see. There is another person in marital trouble because you're letting your spouse decide how well you're doing instead of the Christ that's in you.
Hallelujah.
Why don't we just overcome evil with good? Tone down a harsh word with a kind word.
Yes.
Why don't we just let love cover a multitude of sin and let mercy triumph over judgment? I think I read all that somewhere.
Yes.
Sounds like the gospel to me.
Yes.
Sounds like following Jesus, not just singing to him.
Yes.
Not just praying when things are tight. Sounds like following him to me. So look at verse 27. It's exciting to me. Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So God, I'm not too excited, right? Because you can tell I'm excited, but
good.
Not too excited. You can hear what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
See, I didn't start doing this yet. I'm not going. I'm just having fun. I'm not here to manifest anything weird. I'm here to tell you the truth.
Hallelujah.
You see what I'm saying? I'm telling you, every day. See, I'm not 20 months old in the Lord. I'm 20 years. That's not a super long time, but it's long enough to know.
Amen.
You know what I'm known for back home? Makes me want to cry. Because a good name is worth more than any gold or silver. Fine gold or silver. Good name.
Yes.
You know what I'm known for back home? Consistency. What you see is what you get. And when you call him, he's in Christ. When you see him, he loves Jesus.
Amen.
There's no reputation back there. There's no season. People can say, well, I remember, man. All people know me for that have known me for 20 years is I'm in love. I'm in love. I love Jesus, and I promise you, I love you. Because whether this is the first time meeting you or not, I know who you are. There's a time to be born, and here you sit. God gives life. You're predestined to be adopted in as a son or a daughter before the foundation of the world. You must be the yes and amen of heaven. Your life must be the will of God.
Yes.
You must be worth the blood to him.
Yes.
You must have amazing value, destiny, and potential.
Hallelujah.
Now that's worth loving.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You see, you don't even know me. Oh, I know you. You came from him. You're not here because a man went into a woman. You're here because he saw you before your dad.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Life comes from God. He's the author and giver of life.
Yes.
Your heart's beating and you're breathing. Biggest lie on the planet is suicide. Men taking what's not even theirs. Men taking the right to take what isn't even theirs. It's not your life. It's his life in you. He created you to be one with you. So he can manifest through you.
Yes.
And life beats people down and gets people so driving the car, so in control, that they feel like they have authority to do something with what's not even theirs. Get so bewildered, so dismayed, so devalued, that they think to die is to win. Not without Christ it isn't. Not without legacy. Not without purpose fulfilled. It's a tragic loss and shame. Man, if there's anyone in this room, you got that lie running through your heart and mind, that life ain't worth living, I promise you that's not the Spirit of God saying.
That's right. Amen.
I don't care if there's one person in your ear what I'm saying, it's worth taking 3, 4, 5 minutes for your soul.
Yes.
Amen.
You believe in that lie. I was just in a church and 2 young girls' friends just killed themselves and said, hey, you need to be strong and follow me. It's the only way to peace. It's the only way to rest. Mm-hmm. It's the only way out. And their friend killed himself, and they weren't ready to do it together, too. And somehow they came to this service, and the little girl, a couple nights in a row, was in a bedroom trembling with a note written out to everybody in concern. And the only request was what her casket would look like, because that was going to be her final resting place. Total absurd deception. Loaded gun on her temple several nights in a row, trembling, trying to find the courage to pull the trigger.
Mercy.
It was just amazing because I got near these 2 girls And I got talking to the one, it's just the love of Jesus. And I said, honey, you've been almost like gambling and throwing around the value of your life. And you've been this, and you've been this. And her friend screamed and fell to the ground. This demonic stuff, man. Stronghold lying stuff. I'm talking to the girl. I don't know they're in this together. I'm innocent as can be. I'm not trying to minister. I just love people.
Yes.
I just happen to take interest in people. I just actually happen to believe people are worth the blood of Jesus to God the Father.
Yes.
I don't care how they're acting, how they're talking. I don't care if they're a person. They just don't know who they are. I'm supposed to know. They're not supposed to frustrate me. You're not supposed to, well, they get under my skin. The whole point is get new skin.
Amen.
Well, they just get on my nerves. Get new nerves. Because they don't get on God's nerves. He loves them. And when sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Yeah? I bet Jesus came when things were really tight. In extreme darkness, I bet he was the root that shot up out of dry ground. Not fertile ground. I bet truth sprung out of the earth, Pastor. At a time we needed it most, huh?
Thank you, Lord.
He didn't say, well, you know, they kind of bothered me. He came and wept with compassion and said, they're sheep without a shepherd. He didn't come in disgust and say, what a bunch of losers. Why don't they get a grip?
Thank you, Jesus.
They just bother me the way they act and talk. Come on, guys. We've bought into self-righteousness and pride and comparison. Mm-hmm. We have bought into this standard thing. Every mountain's down. Every valley's up.
Get the picture?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes.
There is no hot shot. There is no low life. It's just men in desperate need of God's mercy and Jesus' blood.
Yes.
We better not forget that. Because when you compare yourselves among yourselves, you're not wise. Mm. We ought to compare ourselves with Him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on. Don't think it's blasphemy to talk about being found in His image. We just boast and relate to our flesh way too much.
That's right.
He said, if you live in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
That's right.
He told us to put off the old deeds and the old man and the old flesh and put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. He said, you're looking in the mirror, beholding the glory of the Lord and being transformed into that same image from
thank
glory to
Lord.
Glory
thank
by
you,
the Spirit
thank
of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Don't you sell cheap and you're not for sale. Don't you talk out of what's possible. Yeah, but men will always be. Stop that. Just stop that. That's a sellout. That's a cop out. Jesus said, follow me. And I bet His grace is ready to help you if you're willing.
Thank you, Lord.
Romans 8 says, you're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And who He predestined, He called. Who He called, He justified. Who He justified, He glorified. How He glorified us? By filling us with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead.
Hallelujah.
You've got to be worth something if He put His mighty Holy Ghost inside of you.
Yes.
You must be worth something if Jesus shed His blood for you.
Yes.
And then that mighty Holy Ghost comes breathing in your spirit and makes you alive inside. He must have saw something we didn't have a clue of.
Thank you, God.
I love you so much. I want you to see this. Are you guys still all right?
Yes.
Okay. So God created man. So He did it. God created man in His own what?
Amen.
Now watch how redundant this sounds because He's trying to get the point across. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Bam, bam, bam. Where did man come from according to the Christian faith in the Word of God? Where did man come from?
God.
Did God just make man or did God make him with intention?
With intention.
He made man on purpose in His image. Watch, both male and
female.
Women, you're not lesser than me. I understand there's some perplexing scriptures we fight over. If you go back to the beginning,
that's right.
God made you. The whole reason woman's on the earth is the image of God. The whole reason man's on the earth is the image of God. You're not here to serve men. You're not here to scratch a man's itch.
Amen.
All right. Don't listen.
You're here to become one with Him and one another through.
Yes.
We're here to love.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
In fact, if you really look at the Word, if I keep reading, you'd see the next chapter, he talks about how it all went down. And he's there naming the animals. Adam's walking around naming all the animals. That's a pretty neat day. I mean, he's like, you know, can you imagine that? I mean, just pick any animal out, you know? Just pick an animal we're familiar with. Elephant. Elephant? Adam, you can't call it elephant. God didn't do that. He didn't upstage him. He didn't correct him. Not one time. Whatever Adam said, so it was. Why? Because God made him in his image and gave him authority and said, subdue the earth.
Yes.
Govern the earth. Tend the earth. Keep the earth. Why? By his spirit. He wasn't making man Lord. Lord was in man.
Hallelujah.
Yeah? He made us to be one with him.
Yes.
Not to be subdued, to subdue. Not to be vulnerable and live in fear and all this stuff and afraid to die. He made man to never die.
That's right.
He said the day you eat the tree is the day you die. Why? Because he was never made to die.
That's right.
That's why we live forever in Christ, because he brought us back to the beginning. He redeemed
yes.
all things. We're
yes.
never going to die.
Yes.
We're never going to die.
Yes.
Come on, you're never going to die if you're in Christ.
Hallelujah.
And yet we fear death. And Hebrews 2 says death is over for the Christian. The fear of the bondage of death is over.
Yes.
We've been held bondage and captive our whole life by that thing, and it's no more for the Christian.
Hallelujah.
But how many times do we pray because of the fear of death? How many times do we pray because death is our motivation? Oh no, they're going to die. Pray. We don't pray because of the promise of life, because of longevity, fulfilling the will of God and length of the days. We almost always get trapped praying because of sentiment, human value, and the fear of death.
Mm.
And we wonder where the power of God is.
Mm.
It's not in the fear of death.
Wow.
It's in the promise of life.
Wow.
Yeah. You don't pray for people because you're afraid you're going to die. You pray for people because they're called to life.
Yes.
Because they have destiny. You don't pray so all the doctors in the hospital are saved. You pray because he loves that individual and wants to make his great name known to the inside of their heart.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how the whole hospital will get saved, when we know him. We always make our motive different than what it's supposed to be if we're not careful.
Right.
We just pray for Sally because we're afraid she's going to die and she's precious. And we just pray for Johnny because we're upset because Billy and Freddie died in the last 2 years. And here we go again. And now we're praying because here we go again.
Mm.
That's the strategy of these diseases. Do you understand that?
Mm.
To cause so much pain, so much loss, so much hurt. Keep us into rigid and not understand. And now we've turned this book into principles we apply to get help instead of a relationship of love and faith. Works through love. And we're rooted and grounded in love. And we're just not afraid. I'm not afraid. Come on, there's not one person in this room that wasn't hurt by cancer somewhere. Somewhere. Whether you had it or whether a loved one died or somebody suffered. And I'm telling you, it's strategy. Just keep doing that. To where you hear its name and you fear, you hear its name and you tremble. And there's only one name that qualifies for that. All of a sudden, it's the name you're trying to never hear. And all of a sudden, Christians by the thousands are living preventative. They're just living. I'm not talking about just eating right, eating healthy, eating temperance. I'm talking they're living preventative. Why? Because you believe you're next in line. Because it can happen to anybody. It's happened to so many. And all of a sudden we're living in fear of the problem instead of a reverence of the answer.
Wow.
And all of a sudden you hear the name cancer and you tremble. And your heart fails. And fear just thrives. I'm telling you, that's its plan.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden cancer becomes the name. Above every name. Now, listen, you're only praying because you're on the run. Not because you've been covered by the Spirit. And now you're only praying because here we go again. Not Jenny. No way. Please, God. Not Jenny. And there goes Jenny. And then when Susie comes along, we don't even have the heart to even believe anymore because we've cried too much over the other four. I'm telling you, this is happening all over the church, all over the earth.
Mm.
It's the strategy of disease to get you so on the run, make it all about the love of your own life and survival, because we're afraid to die. I'm never going to die.
Hallelujah.
I am never going to die.
Hallelujah.
You hear me? I was in the church and had policemen sit around me undercover. They were going to protect me and get me out of there because somebody didn't like me preaching there down south. And they said, somebody's against you being here. And we're concerned for your well-being. And there's some concerns even for your life. And I laughed. He said, here, all these guys are with me. It's four of them, undercover, just dressed like me. But I knew something was up. I just got done preaching all them pastors. And he sat down. Sat down. He leaned over on Officer So-and-so. I'm here to make sure you're okay when we get you out of here. There's some threats, there's some concerns, there's some. And I said, listen, I honor you and I respect you. There's a place for you in our society. And God bless you for what you do. But you're in the wrong place right now. I said, this is intimidation and it's the kingdom. I said, here's the deal. Somebody's saying they're going to kill me. If you protect me, I'll have to run from intimidation the rest of my life. So I tell you what we're going to do. I got a better idea than you guard me and walk me to the hotel. You defuse it. You break it up like nothing's happening. And it's to see if they can't kill me.
Because I don't know about that. Besides, I'm just not afraid.
Wonder if she were not used to not being afraid. We think not being afraid is a paint chip off the wall. But I go, brother, you got to use wisdom. Whose wisdom? Your fear?
All right.
Be careful.
Come on now.
Whose wisdom?
Come on now.
Come on.
That's right.
So see if I'm okay, God will just leave me alone. If my heart's not failing, you'll probably just be okay with that.
Amen.
So he said,
well, I want you to know I strongly disagree as a police officer. And I wish you'd let us do what we're here to do. I said, look, it's not about agreeing and I'm trying to honor you, man. I said, but no, we're not going to do it that way. You have to face intimidation. Mm-hmm. Walk over it in the Holy Ghost. You got to crush it. So it goes away.
Amen.
I said, if I submit to this, the next place I preach, I might get another threat.
Yeah.
Or if you preach in this town, you'll blow up the children's church. If you preach in this town, you're going to lose your family back. Where's the craziness at? All of a sudden, the devil's got you on the run, and he's telling you what you can do, when you can preach, and what you can say. That's not going to happen to me, friend.
Amen.
You would definitely have to kill me in the flesh.
Amen.
And then you're still lost, because I'm going to live forever in the presence
of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oops.
So wonder if I do believe that. You say you're out of your mind. No, I'm out of yours. But I don't mind, I'm out of yours. So the officer was so gracious. He said, well, I knew we were going to have this conversation. I said, why? He said, because I stood in the back and listened to you preach tonight. And I said, well, then you understand you're not from that far. So guess what they did? They totally defused it. They honored what I asked. They milled around the crowd and hung out and did whatever. Nobody watched me. I got in my little car that they gave me, and I drove to where I was staying all by myself with Jesus.
Amen.
And I felt like we were a majority. And I didn't go into the room like this. I just was me. We're not used to people not being afraid. We're used to fear. We think fear is normal. And the gospel says not to fear. Don't be afraid. Not to fear. Over and over and over and over. And guess what our first response is in crisis almost always? And then we pray. See, because once you respond in fear, you don't get a grip on it. Everything that you do after that is motivated by fear. Mm. Even if you pray. It screens you. It decides how you see, how you think, and how you respond. If fear is the root, then the fruit is coming from fear. And Jesus said, don't you be afraid. Amen. We get thrown into crisis and stuff and situations. We get phone calls that we weren't expecting. And almost across the board, we are conditioned by life, not the Spirit of God, to panic, take it upon ourselves, and maybe even call three friends before we even think of praying. But at some point, we pray, but it's after all the... I've seen my own friends do it, man. They get a symptom in their body, and instead of saying, Father, I said, thank you for covenant. I thank you for the finished work of Christ. I thank you for the blood and the love of God. That never, Father, I thank you to the strength in me and the life in my flesh. Nobody around. They just in Jesus. Instead of doing that, you know what they do? They get on the web medic. They type in their little symptom on this, like on the computer, this little thing that tells you what's wrong with you. And it says, if this is your symptom, click here. If this is happening, click here. And 15 minutes into that thing, you're half dead. You got yourself half dead. And now you're like, and you're calling friends for prayer. And there's zero faith, and we're praying, and you're just dying in your mind. I'm telling you, I know why we're all laughing, because that's what folks are doing. I'm telling you, we don't realize it's happened. Subtly and seductively, we've fallen into this idea that God's just there for our sake. And we're just trying to get our fair share. And I promise you, it has nothing to do with Christianity. You surviving has nothing to do with Christianity. You shining has to do with Christianity.
Hallelujah.
Shining. So let's say I was walking to my hotel that night. Somebody takes me out. He says, see, that was needless. Da 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 da. Once I stand before him and my blood's crying out before the throne, and I have that legacy before the Father of loving not my own life unto death. And
that's right.
Not playing hide and seek with intimidation. Once I'm in that arena, you ain't never getting nobody back to church. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
When there was a young boy, I tell the story. I had a vision in prayer, and I went, you know, I was into prayer. You appreciate this, Sean, if you never heard it. Just being a man of prayer. And I was praying and asking God to take me to the corners of the earth, wherever he wants me. And whether I was there or not, I don't know. I'm not trying to be weird with you. It seemed like I was there, but I can't tell you I was. But it was Indonesia. And there was hardship and persecution and women and children and weeping. God had me interceding and I'm looking at families, and so it seemed like I was there. Next thing you know, I'm by my bedside. And I'm like, wow, that was different. And I'm praying. A couple days later or so, a week later, I get an email laid on my desk from Indonesia, from a youth worker that was at a camp. It said, please pray. The persecution is intense. Please pray. And then she went on to tell the story of what happened. So these militant guys raid a youth camp. It's a youth camp. There's 60 kids and 20 workers. It's 80 people. They got machetes. They're in the jungles of Indonesia. They're bullies. They're lost. They're working for the wrong one. And they corral these kids and workers into a circle and surround them. She wrote the whole story out. And they pulled a 15-year-old boy. Is there anybody in here 15, close to 15? Anybody? 15, stand to your feet, please. We won't embarrass you. Stand to your feet, 15 years old. 15, okay? These guys with machetes, it was a boy though, these are girls. But look, just imagine them pulling her into the circle. Pulling her into the circle, 15 years old. You can say, thank you so much. I just want you to get a visual, 15. They pulled this 15-year-old boy out of the circle and they said, they got machetes and they said to the boy, you fool, worshiping this Jesus, you renounce him right now and worship Allah. 15 years old. 15. I don't know if there is an Allah. All I know is I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord in Christ. And that sounds so glorious and victorious. Guess what they did? One of the men grabbed his arm and yanked it out, and one of the men went like that, and his arm was laying in the sand. This stuff's happening.
Yes.
15 years old. Blood spewing. I'm not being mean right now. Don't you turn me off. American Christianity gets mad at God for that.
Yes.
And doesn't understand the integrity and honor of laying down your life for
that's
what
right.
you believe.
That's right.
Piercing men's hearts with conviction by the Spirit of God. Any man can live for himself.
That's right.
Any man can covet his own life. The whole point of the gospel is give it up so
yes.
you can live it for his glory.
Yes, yes.
He said, if any man come after me, any man, that means everybody's invited. Let him first what? Pray a prayer to go to heaven? No, that that's the American gospel.
Deny yourself.
No, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself. Why? You were never made for you. Right. We just found out you were made for his image. Yeah. Deny yourself. Give back what's not yours.
Hallelujah.
It's not your own identity. It's not your own will. It's not your own way. He's the way. He's Yahweh. It's him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Come on, Jesus. King Jesus said, if any man come after me, deny himself. Pick up his cross.
Hallelujah.
Come on! We make it all about blessings. We make it all about provision and favor and promises and pouring it on us, Lord, and full vats and full barns. What about a transformed life and a whole new reason for being, where we're walking in love, not harming one another, but loving one another, not mad at one another, but loving one another. And if you got to pray for somebody, it's not because you have issues. It's because you have mercy flowing from your heart.
Yes.
Come on, guys. We can live this way because he did and he said, follow me.
Yes.
These men mocked that boy and poked that boy. And this youth worker told the whole story. She stood there and watched it with her eyes from America. And they mocked him and heckled him. And they said, you fool. You're going to give your life for one that's not here to save you. He's already saved.
Yes.
See, man is cleaving to natural life.
Yes.
If we're not careful, we're holding on to God just to get through, guys. We're relating to our flesh. We're relating to now. We're relating to bills and relationships and human feelings. Yeah. Come on.
Amen.
These guys are representing. They're not the enemy. The enemy's never flesh and blood. But they're representing the mindset of the enemy.
Yes.
And they're just making it about you right now. Well, he ain't saving you. He ain't done nothing for you. Any gods would let you arm leg, da 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 da. They said, renounce him while you have a chance and spare and save your life. Which sounds like the devil in Job's story. Man will do anything to save his own life.
Come on.
Not this 15-year-old.
That's right.
See, American mindset's getting mad at this story. Mm. Well, why did God protect him? Well, why does God let that happen? Well, why? You go try to get that 15-year-old boy back here and change his mind. He's got so much fire in his eyes. He's got an eternal living legacy for all time before the king of a 15-year-old who loved not his own life unto death and pierced his persecutors with conviction.
Mm.
Yeah, a bunch of cowards, grown men cowards, picking on a 15-year-old boy who stood mighty in God. And even with both his arms now laying in the sand, didn't know how to change his mind. And he fell to his knees with blood spewing out of both sockets, bleeding to death at a fast rate. And he's wobbling and bleeding. And the lady said, they took the machete pastor and went this way across his belly, and everything in him fell into the sand. And as he fell in the sand with no arms to hold himself up, pretty brutal, serious story.
Yeah.
15 years old. Choking in his own dying moments, he said, I don't know if there is a Allah. I only know I'm a soldier in the army of Christ.
Hallelujah.
And he died.
Hallelujah.
You ain't calling him back from that legacy. We feel embarrassed in the crowd. He didn't change his mind with both his human arms laying in the sand and his insides on the ground. I want that commitment.
Yes.
I want that integrity.
Yes.
I want to carry that kind of banner and that kind of honor.
Yes.
I don't want to be in the fear of man. I want the true fear of the Lord.
Yes.
I don't want to just change in the crowd. So, see, I got some of those stories under my belt. I passed through some of those things, and then I got a policeman, and then they want to get me out of there. Are you kidding? You're too late now.
Yeah.
It's not about getting me out of there and protecting me. I'm already protected.
Amen.
For life.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a pretty amazing story. You know what happened when he died? Pandemonium broke out, and his brothers were there. And they started screaming, a little brother and an older brother. And they started screaming, and youth were in shock, and the workers were... I mean, imagine if you were standing there, you could only take so much, and all of a sudden, you freak out. And this worker said, pandemonium broke out, kids went running and screaming everywhere. She said, the boy's little brother, a white-robed figure, took his hand and said, be at peace, come with me. And in a second, it's 5 miles away. See, God's amazing. He's sovereign, but he has a plan. He wants to teach his persecutors what true honor and integrity. These guys are all coveting life. This boy's already alive in Christ. He ain't coveting this life. He's got life.
Yes.
That's going to speak to grown men in time. They butchered a 15-year-old boy in their blindness. But he put a voice inside them called Holy Spirit through what he did. And he heaped hot coals upon their head.
Yes.
Jesus came saying, you say, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. But I say, what's Jesus saying? You ain't saying what I'm saying.
All right.
Come on. Jesus said, you say, and you have heard it said, go ahead and love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. But I say to you, see, Jesus is saying, you didn't get trained by the right wisdom. You didn't get homeschooled in the right home.
All right.
You were taught by wrong teaching. The way that seems right to man, the spirit of this age and the wisdom of the world was your teacher from the time you were born. Because you were born into Adam, and it's time to get born again. You don't bring that mindset into new life. You get renewed in the spirit of your mind. You're not conformed to the world. You're transformed because you think different than you ever thought before. It used to be all about you. Now it's all about Him through you. It used to be God take care of me. Now it's God transform me.
Hallelujah.
It used to be I'm really mad at them. And now it's I'm full of mercy towards them. Everything changes through Christ.
Hallelujah.
Come on, don't you water that down. And don't become religious. And don't learn how to sing all these songs and not let Him change us from the inside.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Come on. Why am I so passionate in the small room in the size of El Paso? Because you guys can make a difference like we haven't even imagined.
Yes.
The number of faces I'm looking at, if we start living changed, if we start loving along the way, we start sowing seeds in our community, how do you measure what God can do? How can you even wrap your mind around the multiplication of lives surrendered? People touched by the Spirit of God through us. Come on. He said, you say, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. I say, love your enemy. You're supposed to love them guys that chopped that arm? Come on, forgive them, Father. They have no clue. They're on the wrong side. They think they might really think they're doing right.
Yeah.
They might really believe we're just a bunch of deceived pagans and their way is the way.
Yeah.
And people will kill in the name of God, and hate you and kill in the name of God, and feel like they're doing God a favor when they do it.
Yeah.
Bible talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. So what are we going to do? Just retaliate? Throw up picket signs? Fill up buses and protest? No. You know what the pastor did? He found out that the government stepped in and said, you've gone too far. This is a minor. This is a 15-year-old boy. Your persecution is out of control. And they shut him off. They hedged him in the jungle like rats to die. They weren't allowed to buy, sell, trade. They were cut off.
Mm.
And the pastor heard wind of it and he said, this isn't God. He said, this isn't God. After the boy got taken to a village 5 miles away, kids swam across a shark infested bay without one fatality. And the youth worker said, I looked around and realized that none of them could see us. God had blinded their eyes to our presence, and they were looking around confused, like, where did they all go? And we were all right there.
Wow.
Now, God could have done that for the 15-year-old boy, but in His amazing wisdom, you'd be amazed at the plan of the Lord. And He found a young 15-year-old that wasn't afraid to die, that had the integrity of Christ.
Yes.
And that 15-year-old boy stood his ground, and God, with gracious arms, received him into His eternal presence with a glorious legacy and resume.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, and we just want to cry because He died. We all rejoice because He lives.
Yes.
Honor of what He did.
Yes.
And go learn from it and glean from it and grow from it and find courage through it. Because He followed Jesus Christ. denied himself, picked up his
cross.
Did Jesus deserve to die?
No.
Did he?
No.
But did he die?
Yes.
Did that boy deserve to die?
No.
But did he die?
Yes.
Did he utter a word? Did he cry out? Did he blame? Did he curse? Or did he follow Jesus?
He followed Jesus.
What a legacy, huh?
Yes.
There was one more fatality when the pastor of the village, I got this email about a week later, when the pastor of the village found out how they were cut off, he said, this is not the will of God that they die in the jungle like that. And he began to shuttle food into them and get supplies into the very village and kill the boy that he was the pastor of. Mm. That would get you to leave the church, probably, if you didn't understand the heart of God.
Why?
Pastor, you're feeding them a bunch of begging bums. They ought to die. That's what they got to come to them. They killed that boy. They ought to die and rot. Let the judgment of God come upon them. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
Yes.
Are you following me?
Yes.
He started shuttling supplies in there, and the heart of the persecutors couldn't comprehend. Couldn't comprehend, and she wrote that their heart was breaking. And repenting because they couldn't comprehend how the village that they murdered the boy of was sending them what they needed to survive. And it changed something.
Thank you, Jesus.
It doesn't say the reprimand of God leads men to change. It says the goodness of God. We think goodness is a pushover, passive, doormat.
Come on.
Weakness.
Come on.
The love is so strong, it's amazing.
Yes.
But it really never fails.
Amen.
Come on.
Thank
We've been
Lord.
Taught to think it's the wimpy way.
Thank you, Lord.
So lovely. You ain't got a way. Somebody needs to hold them accountable. You can't let them just enable them.
Stop. Just stop.
Stop.
Because if God took that perspective for
that's
one
right.
day for you,
that's right.
You're done.
That's right.
That's right.
You needed more than that to be sitting here with His Spirit in you. You needed more mercy than that.
Amen.
If He'd have held you at face value, come on. You wouldn't be born again, would you? Be real.
That's right.
Who in this room ever sincerely came to God with a broken heart sincerely and God said, oh, it's you. You should have came 6 months ago. I wooed you pretty heavy back then. Why didn't you come then? Caused a lot in Jalapeno since then. You didn't have to do it this way, you know? In fact, I'm not sure I can trust you anymore anyway. How many times did I tell you you did right and you did wrong? I don't even know where we stand anymore. I'll tell you what, I don't know. Whoever got talked to by God. Yeah. See, when you put those words in God's mouth because we painted Him into Scripture, it's hilarious. It sounds silly. It ought to sound silly in your mouth. You're made for His image. Those words should be just as silly in the Christian's mouth. Because like Father, like Son, we're predestined to be in His image. You know who taught you to talk that way? See, when we laugh about that, when I put those words in God's mouth, see, they're not God's words, are they? So then I guess God didn't teach you and I to think and talk that way. I guess we learned that some other way. Yeah? Ooh, that's convicting, isn't it? Come on, I bet those attitudes didn't come from Jesus. I bet we didn't learn that language from the Lord. So I bet there is a truth to this born again thing. I bet there is a truth to getting to some water and going under and dying in the likeness of His death and being buried into His death so you can be surely raised in the newness of life.
Yes.
I bet it's more than a prayer to get your name in a book called heaven. I bet it's heaven coming in and overtaking you.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So here's the deal. I'll close with this. I'm going to pray for some folks. You guys hanging in there all right?
Yes.
You getting something out of this?
Yes.
Come on. We've got to give our life to Him. Yeah. Let's understand the gospel.
Yeah.
Let's understand that this gospel is all about transformation. You know why we gather ourselves together in Hebrews and don't forsake the gathering of the brethren? It's not so we can take an offering and keep a ship on the water. It's not so we can keep building a kingdom. Of course, this is a blessing of a meeting house and it takes provision and finances. I understand that. But that is not why we come here, so we can keep this thing floating.
That's right.
We come here to stir one another up in love and good works. We just honor the fact that we have a meeting house and liberty in this country, so we fuel things to have the blessing and convenience of a meeting house and children and stuff and all that stuff. But the goal for coming here isn't to keep a boat on the water. The goal for coming here is to stir one another in love,
yes,
and the world.
Yes.
So that when you leave here, you look a little more like him than when you came.
Amen.
That's why we do Sunday mornings, guys. Come on.
Amen.
That's why we do Wednesday nights or whatever we do. It's not a shot in the arm. It's not a midweek shot so we can get through life.
That's right.
You know, God, go to church, get pumped up. You want to be pumped up in Him.
That's right.
You want to be in fellowship with God. You're not coming, we're not Christian addicts coming to shoot Jesus.
Come on now.
So we can make it a couple more days. Come on. That's why the church came up with a Wednesday service, because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then we do midweek, and now it's the long haul. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thank God for Sunday.
Yeah.
That is not the Christian life.
That's right. That's true.
You're not coming to be filled. You're filled in Him to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, to be filled with all the fullness of God.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
So, well, I'm not getting fed at my church. You should be getting fed in His presence, fed in the Word, fed through the person
That's
of the Holy
right.
Ghost.
That's right.
Fed. You have an anointing in you. It'll teach you. He will show you how to remain and abide in Him. Yes. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So good to me.
Hallelujah.
Man, we ought to be encouraged.
Yes.
You know, people get a little funny when I say this, but I found it in my Bible, like, discouraged Christianity, Christians that are discouraged, discouraged Christians is unscriptural. It's unscriptural for you to just be discouraged because of life.
That's right.
Because of people, because of circumstances. Because your life's not your own. It says, consider Him who endured such hostility against Him. So it's Hebrews 12:3, it's there. Consider Him who endured such hostility against Himself from sinners, lest you be discouraged and grow weary in your soul. What's He saying? You be careful, you ain't taking life personal. But you're taking this gospel personal. Come on. I've seen Christians by the score that have such a twisted view of the gospel that they're actually justifiably mad at God because of stuff. And they got their case laid out in the court of their mind. They have found Him guilty. They're the jury. They're the prosecuting attorney. And they got it all laid out. They can share in detail why they're mad. And when the clay has found fault with the great potter, it's just a sure sign of the fall. It's the way that seems right. But look what it's doing to your heart, what you're believing, and how much death it's producing in you. When you look at what you're believing and what it's producing, you can find where it's coming from. If the way you're thinking isn't building you up and encouraging you, it can't be from the Lord. If it's not promoting life, it's not the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
And the biggest trap on the planet, you get mad at me if you want, I'm not saying it to be mean. The biggest trap on the planet is when you're reduced to just feeling sorry for yourself. And then you get reduced to the highest grace you can receive is you can find somebody that seems to care. And then you'll live that thing in front of them just to draw sympathy from them, because it's how far you've been reduced to just receiving the fact that somebody cares about what you feel. That's the lowest place you can stand. It's a lonely part. Feeling sorry for yourself is a wonder created one. If Jesus took one day to feel sorry for Himself, He'd never have the capacity to carry His cross and die for you.
Thank you, Lord.
Just one day, feeling sorry for Himself. It wouldn't have been fair for Him to die on the cross. It had been too much. Come on. If just one day He'd have said, well, I healed all their sick and I fed their thousands, and this is what they're doing to me?
Come on.
Bunch of stiff-necked people, if they didn't change by now, they ain't never changing. If they hit me with one more club, I'm telling you, good. Come on. You can't even find Jesus coming close to that.
Right.
Let's make sure we don't either.
Amen.
You guys with me?
Yes.
Now, let me do this real quick. I want to do this. All I'm doing tonight is laying a foundation of where we're going to be going all weekend, okay? If you can come, come. If you can't, we understand. I know we work all week. Some of us have families. But they did set a bunch of times tomorrow, I think. Like a 10, 2, and 7, if I'm right.
Yeah.
I'll be here. But if you could just make some, you know what I mean? Don't feel like, well, I've got to get there. It's going to be a busy day. If you can, man, come. I'd love to see you. We can just catch something. Let's keep growing together in this thing. My whole heart to come into a town, I'm just letting you know. If Sean invited me and Pastor said it was good to come, then they felt like there was something in my heart that I could deposit. And if I come, it's because I'm believing that that's going to happen. So it's an honor to be here tonight. And just believe that something I'm saying might get you to think different and function different and make things different in a good way from now on.
Yes.
To where you don't have to believe a lie anymore. And all of a sudden you go, duh, I've been doing it. Whoa, yeah. All of a sudden you just wake up. If you just start waking up and talking to the Lord instead of complaining or saying, God, I hope you get me through this day. All of a sudden you wake up and just realize what the day is for. What if we just accomplished that this weekend? Then you'd just start waking up and it would be like, oh no, 6 o'clock already? You gotta be kidding me. God, I didn't even sleep good. Lord, you better empower me. And I hope that boss isn't acting like he acted all last week because I'm not ready to quit this job, God. If you love me, I'm gonna think you'd change you. Come on, guys. Bunch of self-centered complaint stuff doesn't even leave the drop ceiling. It never makes heaven. It comes out of your mouth. Heaven doesn't even hear you. I promise. I'm on you now. I got you. You got to be careful with that stuff, man. All of a sudden, it's just about, I just wish I'd get a new job, God. I can't take it. I feel so run down by the end of the day. Come on. You put Jesus on your job. You think they're going to run him down by the end of the day? You think Jesus is going to come out and go, Lord, I need a new job. Come on.
Amen.
Now it's all in your perspective. If God can change your eye, He can change your life. Complaining. Read 2 Corinthians 10. Complaining. 1 Corinthians 10. Complaining opens you up to the destroyer and the devourer.
That's right. That's right.
Read Philippians 2. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. How many things?
All.
So complaining's never the kingdom. Watch.
Right.
Because it's a self-centered attitude. You're talking about how something's affecting you personally. Wow, there's no grace in that arena.
Yes.
Watch. Do all things without grumbling and complaining so you can be seen as an innocent, harmless child by the world. In the midst of a perverse, corrupted society and generation, a self-centered mind, right? All around you. You do all things without grumbling and complaining so they see you harmless and innocent, whom you shine forth as a light, holding forth the word of light. See, God wants your life to speak. Amen?
Yeah.
So do how many things? Without grumbling and complaining. It just reveals that you're dead and alive unto Him. It's not ever again about you. It's not, well, they're not treating me fair. Man, if God sat on that one for a while, we'd be in trouble. Do you realize God has never been changed by men? Generations have passed and men have never been able to change God.
Thank you, Lord.
But God's still changing men. Come on, I'm going with Him. Listen, I've seen people sit back, cross their arms again. Man, that doesn't mean if you're sitting there with your arms crossed, you're mad at God. But I've seen them in that posture where they're just, well, He didn't do what, He wasn't there for me when I was a child. He didn't. And we forget that He sent His Son while we were yet sinners.
Yeah.
We forget that we were lost and born into Adam, and He sent His Son to get us born again. And we're going to have issues with God because of circumstances in life, no matter how traumatic. Come on, man, I've seen the sick heal a lot. And I buried my own mother because of disease. And did her funeral 3 years ago. And you can see it hasn't changed me. I love Jesus as much as I ever have. Why? Because we can't lose. We've already won.
That's right.
Do we go for healing? You better believe
it.
Do we believe? Do we pray? Do we press in and seek Him more? Absolutely. Can we ever possibly lose? The most I can lose is a little bit of temporal time. Brief moments of light affliction. Compared to the eternal weight of glory when He comes.
Hallelujah.
Mama's doing fine, I promise. Oh, I wish she was here. It'd be nice to hug her. I promise. Be good to see Mama. I'm not a Christian, so God makes my mama live longer. I'm a Christian so that I be like Him in the midst of it all.
Yes.
And the integrity of the cross is when I don't lose one beat when Mama passes.
That's right.
And I can lift my hands and say, Lord, I know there's a way to see Mama heal. I know if you touch her, Jesus, she'd have jumped out of that bed. God, keep growing me and forming me and fashioning me after your image. Keep increasing my understanding. But I will not change my mind. You alone are Lord. You never gave me a mother at the cost of who you are. You gave me a mother in light of who you are. Oh, that I would steward my life with joy and integrity.
Yeah.
Some of us lose a loved one and we're done with God for the rest of our life. And we prove that he's our busboy, our table waiter, our servant. And we prove we have never understood the gospel. We have made God something that's there for us. Instead of that, we came from him for his sake. God never gave you the gift of children at the cost of who he is. He gave you the gift of children so you can multiply his image through them.
Not so you can find your identity through them.
Come on now.
All right. Oh, I want it now.
All right.
And all of a sudden you're only as good as your children aren't. And all of a sudden you've been rendered unproductive and all you can do is cry and pray because you're full of fear, or you're condemned as a mother because you fail or your child wouldn't be, and all of a sudden it's just hardship and pain all because you don't even realize God never gave you the gift of bearing children to find your identity through them or live their lives for them.
That's right.
He looked at Adam, name in the animals, I'm going back to where I was. He looked at Adam, name in the animals, looked at all the animals and everyone had someone comparable. And he said, it ain't good this guy be alone. He has none comparable. Is Adam lonely? He's full of God. What did God do? Make another lump of clay? He reached into the fullness of God in man and brought forth what was already there in him and made one, two, so two could be one. And in that place he said, bless this. Be fruitful and multiply. Is he talking about having kids? He's talking about multiply image. Cover the earth with my glory.
Yes.
Be one, be in covenant, and in this union of covenant, conceive and give birth to the same.
Hallelujah.
Man eats the tree.
Hallelujah.
Man eats the tree. It becomes all about him. And every man from that day was born into Adam. And you must be born again.
So why don't we let the redemption of the Lord come and take us back to original vow?
Amen.
So watch this. The image of God is what? What's the image of God? You could say glory, majesty, but how do we all know God through the Bible? What's the primary definition for God?
Love.
You have to understand it's love. God doesn't do love, he is love. Everything that God does flows from the wellspring of love. For God so loved, he gave his son. It did say for God was so weary and so impatient and couldn't take it anymore that he finally sent his son. God so loved that he gave. Do you know what the Bible says in 1 John 4? It says, love is perfected in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we right now in this world.
Yes.
He didn't say because we go to church and don't miss a Sunday. He said it's because we love. The confidence we have is when he comes, he'll find himself in us.
Yes.
You back up to verse 17. You back up to verse 7 and 8. Guess what it says? Beloved, let us love one another. Why? Because love is of God. And everyone that loveth, born of God and knows God. He who loveth not, just doesn't know God. He didn't say you don't go to church. He didn't say you don't pastor and lead worship. He said if you don't love, there's one reason. You don't know him. So the measuring stick of knowing God isn't talking about him. It isn't quoting scripture. It's your love.
That's right.
And guess what love does? Doesn't seek its own. Guess what love does? Takes no account of the wrong, not the mistake, of the wrong done to it. Takes what? Whoa, come on, be real with me, church. Love takes. Then why are we so broke up over everything people do?
Come on.
Because we haven't become love. Why does he said, she said, drive us and dictate us? Why do we let what someone did or didn't do trump what he's already done? If you're not careful, you say like society, well, the people closest to you can hurt you the most. But they're the ones you say you love. And love takes no account of the wrong done to it, so why are you so hurt? Here's the problem. Through Adam, love's been reduced to this. I love you. Do you love me? What you're saying is, I love you for me. I love you for what you make me feel, how secure you make me, and what you bring to my table. I love you for what I get out of you.
Come on now.
Don't let that change, or I'll have problems.
Come on now. That's right.
When I love you, just lays down its life for the highest sake of another. And they're messing up, and you don't know how to grow weary and well-doing. You don't know how to take it personal, because you're with him. You're in him. Your identity's in him. And you're loving. You're not enabling. You're loving. You're not changing your mind about a person based on their performance or their lack of understanding. All of a sudden, you're not praying because you're in pain. You're not praying because you're hurt. You're not praying because if God doesn't change your spouse, you can't go on. Praying because your heart's full of mercy, and you know in your heart your spouse is so much more than what they've given themselves to. And you're not crying for you when you're praying. You're crying for them.
Amen.
My wife prayed for me for 13 years to change. And then she gave up on me, and she gave up on God. She pumped her fist at God and said, I'm done with you too. I prayed to you for 13 years and you've never changed that man. Listen to the way that seems right. You allowed me and these kids to suffer through hell, and you've done nothing. I don't need you. And she just walked off. About 5 months after, God changes my life at work and saves me for good. When she found out, she got so mad. Because she felt like it was a slap in the face. She felt like, now you're changed, when it's too late. 7 weeks after I got saved, she fought my salvation like you have no idea. She wanted to prove, to justify her own frustrations and anger and unforgiveness. And I understood, as I was not a happy, good husband. For the first time in my life, I knew I loved somebody and realized she tried so hard. Before Jesus, I had blamed her. Jesus came inside of me, and I saw it totally. The day before Jesus passed, I had told you all her flaws, faults, and failures, and why I'm glad to not be with her. Jesus comes inside of me, and I look and go, she really tried hard. I've never given her Christ. I've never loved her. I've never given an inch. I've blamed her. She's done nothing wrong. That's what Jesus did. Didn't go to a conference yet. Didn't even read my Bible yet. Nobody laid hands on me. Impartation.
Hallelujah.
What happened to me? Love came inside. And I looked through it and saw her. 7 weeks later, she's in the bathroom doing her hair to go out of town. I was in the bedroom one day. She was in the house and she came through. We weren't together. She was in the house and she heard me in the bedroom praying. And I opened the door to come out and she was standing there. Oops. Yeah. Guess what she said? You make me so mad. You live like, this is rationale, the way that seems right. You let hurt in your heart, and you tell a couple people that are hurt, they will agree with you. But you talk to Jesus, and he'll try to change your mind. It's amazing how hurting people gravitate to people that are hurt. And then you lick each other's wounds, and nobody's healed. You just justify your position to guarantee tomorrow's yesterday. Yeah? They did what? I can't believe. Oh, honey. Well, they should have known. They should have known. You must be so. Oh, let's pray. And Jesus isn't even there. You call it compassion, and it's just human sympathy. It's just pain licking pain. It's an ugly, festering mess. You got to teach somebody the heart of God. You got to teach him how God sees them. Because watch how he handled my wife. She's at the bedroom door. You make me so mad.
You lived like the devil for 13 years, and now you're in there praying like some holy man of God. I don't think so.
Sure made sense to her unforgiveness. Sure made sense to all the times I dishonored her. Sure made sense in light of my sin. But it don't make sense in love. So 7 weeks later, she's in the bathroom doing her hair. And guess who comes in the bathroom?
The one she pumped her fist at. He wasn't offended. He didn't come sneaking in. And he wasn't limping from her hurting.
He just come rolling right in the bathroom like he owns the place. And he poof, made his presence known. She said she went, Jesus dropped the brush. And the Lord was standing in the room.
Amen.
He said, why are you sick? And see, you know why he did it? You know why he told me he did it? Because I didn't try to be him. I didn't try to change her. I didn't plead with her in insecurity. Well, I'm different now. Give us a chance. You got to trust me. You got to. Insecure, self-centered stuff. Trying to get him back for your sake. Look, I'll change. Stop. No, you won't. If it's not Jesus, you won't.
Amen.
My goal for going to Jesus wasn't to save my marriage. My goal for going to Jesus was becoming the man I was created to be. And when God saw that I became that man, he went to her and said, hey, see, he's not going to bring them back to you if he doesn't see him in you. Why would he bring them back to what's not him?
Pray, why does my God bring my spouse back?
Well, maybe that's not the priority of your prayer right now. Maybe you get formed in Christ is a better prayer.
Yes.
So that God looks and sees something to bring him to.
Yes.
He said, why are you so angry with that man? He spoke to her in the bathroom. Why are you so angry, man? Can't you see? And she said it was like somebody ripped something off of her face. She said it was the blinders of unforgiveness and resentment and hurt and pain. It just, she said it was startling. It was like, because it was God. Why are you so angry with that man? Can't you see? That's not even the man you're angry with. In fact, Kim, it's not even the man you married. Watch what God said about me. I have made him a brand new man.
God said that about me.
Oh! That's you. Just down the floor. He hovers over her and he says, yes, it's true, Kim. You prayed to me for 13 years. Because that's where she was mad at God. He came to resolve it. Watch. Spouses, watch. Yes, it's true you prayed to me for 13 years, Kim, but you bowed my hands from me. Because even though you prayed, you only prayed because of hurt, because of pain. You never prayed because of mercy and because of love. Kim, you were reduced to another hurting wife in prayer. And I couldn't answer your prayer because I can't let you stay that way. Because that's not me, that's not love. That's what he told her. See, if all you do is get offended and hurt and pray and God changes people, you'll never change and you'll think hurt and offense is the way.
That's right.
And you'll let everything else hurt you and offend you and you'll keep praying thinking you have some special avenue to God and he's pressed to change everything around you for your sake.
Yes.
God said, I couldn't answer your prayer because it never came from love. It only came from pain. You never prayed for your husband because you loved him because of mercy, because you were sad for him. You only prayed because you were sad for you, Kim. That's why I didn't answer your prayer. I'm out in the yard. I'm working in the garden. She's in the house having an encounter with God. The door slams open and she's running. She's a little thing. She's sweet. And the last 7 weeks she wasn't really sweet. She's something I've never seen. But she's sweet. But she wouldn't talk to me. She wouldn't pursue me. But now she's running right at me. I hear the door slam and I look and she's running. And she's crying out of control. In your mind, you think she got a bad phone call. You think somebody died. You think something happened. But I hear her talking repetitiously. It's amazing how the gospel changes things. Get your eyes off of everybody else and put your eyes on you.
Yes.
Who knows that I lived like a dog for 13 years and never loved her and took her for granted and lived godless in my marriage? She ran out of gas. Battery went dry. She didn't have the revelation we have today. Who knows that on a talk show she's the victim and I'm the villain? Who knows that my heart now wants to cry and say, I'm sorry for those 13 years. What about the honor of loving you now and being like Christ to the church to you? But I wasn't able to say it because now she's running to me. And guess what she's saying on her lips? I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It was tearing me up to hear her say she's sorry over and over and over because I'm sorry. And I started crying so hard, it was a cry fest in my yard. And she's just, it was bad. And she's saying, I'm sorry. And I'm thinking, I'm sorry. And finally I said, I'm crying so hard.
I'm like, Kim, you gotta stop saying you're sorry. It bothers me to hear you say it. I'm sorry. She said, no.
With conviction, look at me right now. I said, no, Dan, I am sorry. And I said, why? She said, because for 13 years, I only prayed for you because of hurt and pain, never because of love, never because of mercy. Dan, I was reduced to another hurting wife to pray. And then when God finally did what I asked him to, I was too blind, too mad to want it or see it. Forgive me. Well, she actually said, and I fought for these last 7 weeks. Forgive me. And she bawled and fell in my arms. And then I said, honey, pretty spontaneous thought, honey, can I renew my wedding vow to you? She said, you're in this home for this marriage. I said, are you kidding me? For the first time in my life, I understand I am ready to love. And I said, I held her little shoulders in the yard. I didn't have this prepared. And that's crumpled up papers by the lampstand. He had bags in my eyes from staying up all night trying to be witty. I just said, out of my spirit, can I renew my wedding vow to you? A Christian psychologist would probably crucify me for saying what I told her. Because, you know, relationship, 50-50, a lot of work. Here's what I said to her. I said, can I renew my wedding vow? She said, yeah. I said, Kim, you owe me nothing in this marriage but to receive the love of God from me. And as long as I draw breath on this earth, I will serve you in His unfailing love. Mm. She said, okay. 7 weeks of the Lord, and that was the revelation he had given. And love isn't known anything, and love owes no man anything but to love. And I realized that God brought the woman out of the fullness of God in the man. So the woman's created value is to receive and respond to the love of God in her man. Not to just need a man, not for him to speak her language, but for her to be honored and valued by God in him. Feel safe and trusted in that place. Come together in that place. Conceive in that place. It's a holy place. We've turned it into scratch and itches, one night stands. Well, I'm lonely. Well, I'm not getting any younger. Well, I wish I was with somebody. Well, it's been 3 days, honey. We've turned it into a lot of things. It's not. So if God made man in his image and God is love, catch this one thought. I told you I was closing 20 minutes ago. Listen, if this encourages you, I'm from the east, so it's 11:20 to me. So you'll never catch me tonight. You'll never catch me. I'm 2 hours ahead of you. Do I look okay? So you probably could be okay with me just for a second. I got up at 4 in the morning to catch my flight here. It's 11:20 to my body, but I wouldn't know it. Not standing here in front of you preaching the good news. If God is love, and love doesn't seek its own, know the love of Christ to be filled with all the fullness of God. That word means a house with no empty rooms. It means a ship completely full of cargo. And watch this. Before Adam ate the tree, Adam was love. Man was made to love. Not need love. Be love. Come on, bear with me. Man was made to love. Not need love. To be love. When Adam ate the tree, that died. And he got cut off from the source of love and became bankrupt of it and in desperate need from then on. Every man was born into Adam. Jesus came, modeled the life we were created for, fulfilled what Adam failed, became what we were, so we could become what he is. How did he come? For God so loved. Did he have need of your love? Or was he busy being love to you and me? Was the love conditional? Was there any mandates?
No.
Or is it just who he is? That same Jesus didn't say, sing to me on Sunday and pray to me when things are tight. He said, follow me. That same Jesus said, as he is, so are we in the world.
Hallelujah.
The whole purpose of Christianity is not you getting saved and going to heaven someday. It's your sins being removed so the truth can rest back on you. It's all unrighteousness being removed so the Spirit of God can back in you so that you can become love and wake up for the image of your Father. The cross of Christ isn't fulfilled when a man prays a prayer to go to heaven. It's fulfilled when his nature is restored back to life.
Yeah.
It says if you don't have love, you've missed the whole point.
Yeah.
1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction, the purpose of the commandment, is love. Guys, if we miss this thing, we'll miss why it came. And we'll use this book as a bunch of principles we pray to catch breaks and blessings.
Come on now.
Instead of a relationship that transforms
yes.
our lives.
Yes.
And makes our lives like him.
Yes.
Look, every one of us can leave here tonight with a conviction in our heart. Stop letting the things around us decide who we are. Stop letting the pressures of life decide who we are. And the wisdom of the world will let the truth through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And every one of us can get alone when nobody's looking tonight and lay on a bed somewhere. Even if you have a spouse, they drift off to sleep at whatever point, you could lay there and just be real with God. God, my life's yours. You've captivated my heart. You've captured me. I'm not waking up for me. I'm not living for me. I'm not going to live for me anymore. My life is in you and you're in me. And all of a sudden, the unity of faith starts to be fulfilled. Or even though we have different callings, different graces, different gifts, we can all have the same reason why. And every one of us can wake up in the morning for his image. And every one of us can wake up in the morning to love one another. Now look, you can be disappointed and offended if you choose. You can get angry tomorrow if you want. You can let somebody bother you. But you can get alone and say, you know what? I'm going to put that off. And we'll say, God, I don't believe you created me for those things. You told me in Colossians to put those things off. Anger, wrath, malice, arguing, blasphemy, filthy language. You told me not to lie to one another because I put off the old man and his deeds and I'm putting on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to your image. And that new man, it says, is tender mercies and loving kindness and all those good things. And if anyone has a complaint against another, as Christ forgave you, you forgive. And above all these things, put on love. Because it's the bond of perfection. I'm telling you, that's why we're Christians. We're not Christians to catch a break. Christians to become like you. And I'm being strong and bold on a long night of preaching. If you don't change that motive of Christianity, you will be disheartened, disillusioned, and your life will look like this.
Mm.
Because because it's not why you're on the earth. You're not on the earth for you. You're on the earth for His great name.
Yeah.
You're not on the earth for people who treat you right. You're on the earth to look like Him in the face of it all. They hated Him. It says they'll hate you. They persecuted Him. They'll persecute you. They didn't agree with Him. They won't agree with you. But don't fight back as He did. You overcome evil with good.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, the last thing you need is an issue.
Now that you're in the kingdom. The last thing you and I need is He said, she said. Well, I wouldn't feel this way if they...
No, I wouldn't feel this way if He didn't. I'd be just like I used to be. Those days are over. Because I died, so He has.
Thank you.
You follow me?
Yes.
This is why we're Christians.
Yes.
Tomorrow, probably most of the day, I'll talk about what we've become now that He came. And how He changes everything and how we can walk in this love. If you can catch a session tomorrow, it'd be important because I'm going to talk about, you can't just hear me talk tonight and go out and say, okay, I'm going to love like God loves. He makes you that way when you're willing.
Yes.
And here's the key. You've got to be willing.
Yes.
You've got to be willing to forgive. It amazes me how we have so many rights and yet we deny ourselves. Mm. It's amazing how we say, well, I wouldn't feel this way if they didn't, and we make other things matter more. That stuff we need to catch and put to rest and say, whoa, wait a minute. That's not ruling me anymore. God, I'm willing to become like You. So who You are is seen by that.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. We can live that way. It's called born again. You all with me?
Yes.
We can live that way.
Yes.
You say, well, I haven't been right with God. Well, then get right with God. You don't need an article or a piano. Just go, duh. What was I thinking? Yeah?
Yeah.
You say, yeah, but I've really messed up. So let's let that start changing. Stop seeing yourself as a mess up and see yourself as a person of hope.
Yes.
And if you were convicted and challenged by what I said, don't hear me for where you're not tonight. Hear me for where you're called. Don't leave here and say, boy, I got a long way to go. No, you leave here rejoicing and say, I got answers tonight.
Hallelujah.
I've got direction in front of me.
Amen.
I got light on the trail.
Hallelujah.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
We're going to do this real quick just because it's fun for me and it's the will of God. And it won't take long. I know I'm late. I can tell. I can tell you guys are used to this later. I talked a long time. I'm just getting wound up. I got a whole weekend in front of me. I'm like a pool court doll, man. There's a stem in front of folks, it's like, and if you don't pull it again, I'm already tugging. Can we pray for the sick real quick and just do it in a timely manner? It won't be ineffective and it won't be just breezing through. It's not a religious thing, I promise. I don't believe there's religious stuff in me. If there is, Jesus would have to show it to me. I do things with heart and intent and sincerity. It's nothing churchy about it. It's the will of God to heal the sick.
Yes.
I'm just telling you, I just believe it. And it'd be good if we'd stop fighting over that. And just lock into what we believe until we grow into its manifestation. Because if we keep changing our mind based on our circumstances and outcomes, we'll never know whether we're coming or going. And we'll let life teach us instead of Jesus' life. We'll let circumstances tell us what we believe instead of the gospel.
Yes.
We're writing books about healing and it's already written.
Amen.
It's Jesus' life. Because when you see Him, you've already seen the Father. And He's the will of God revealed.
Amen.
So if you can't see it in His life, you probably shouldn't have it in your belief system. And if you never heard it in His mouth, it probably shouldn't be coming out of ours.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Hallelujah.
He didn't tell people concerning healing, well, it's not your time, and, well, God's trying to teach you something.
Come on.
He didn't say none of that. We say it because it makes sense to our minds. But it doesn't make sense to the gospel in His life. The trouble is we try to come up with things to make ourselves feel better about what we feel bad about. But it's at the cost of truth. The truth makes us free. So here's what we're going to do tonight. It's real simple. And I don't usually do it this way. It's just because I'm late. We'll do it this way. But I want some folks to get involved and help anybody. Well, let's do this first. If you were healed tonight, you have sickness in your body, or you have something going on in your body, and you were healed tonight, but there'd be no way to know You couldn't check anything in the moment. It's not like you have a torre rotator cuff and a limited shoulder, or degenerate knees and you can't bend, or you had a stroke and you can't walk right. You just, it's something that comes and goes. It's a migraine and it's not here now, but man, it's been there weekly at some point for the last 3 months. You see what I'm saying? There's a sickness in your body, and if you were healed tonight, there'd be nothing to check manually and tangibly. You just have to know by faith. Mm-hmm. You have something in your blood, and without getting a test, you really wouldn't know if it's there or not. Mm-hmm. If that's your condition first, and only that, if you were healed, you wouldn't be able to tell it. You wouldn't be able to check it. There'd be no way to check. Are you guys following me?
Yes.
I need you first to let me know who you are. Who here, if you were healed, you wouldn't know it necessarily in the moment when we pray for you? Time would have to tell. Won't you stand to your feet? Anybody, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Please, don't be embarrassed. Stand to your feet. Please don't stay sitting if it's you. And here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to teach you real quick. We're going to pray a simple prayer of faith. Okay? It's a simple prayer of faith. Now let me encourage you guys on this. This is simple stuff. Your prayer never has and never will heal anybody. It's His finished work. It's what you believe about what He accomplished in His love for the person. It's not the elements of your prayer. It's not because you prayed scripturally correct. It's because your heart's in the right position and you see and believe. These signs follow those that believe. It doesn't say pray perfect. Watch. Being healed in Jesus' name is probably plenty when you get it. Yeah? Come on. But who's done this, praying for the sick? As soon as you pray for the sick, you get self-conscious and try to pray right, pray better, and pray powerfully. Who's ever done that, praying for the sick? Be honest. Anybody that's ever prayed for the sick, probably. And then you look and don't see it changing, so you try to pray better, pray harder, pray more, pray louder. In the name of Jesus. I don't know what we do. But it means the whole time we're very self-conscious. And it's not you that heals the sick. It's Christ in you, Christ through you. It's what we believe that brings healing. So all I'm going to do over these people is pray a simple prayer of faith. And this isn't some rhetorical end of a church service, well, we got to minister in some way. I'm absolutely believing with all my heart, along with people that understand what I'm saying, that your bodies are going to change. That you're not going to have those symptoms pop up. That you're going to find in whatever time necessary that something shifted tonight because I stood humbly before my King. And what He accomplished came into me and changed me. Amen?
I'm serious, girl. I'm excited about it.
So if you're near that person, just touch them without offending them, without distracting them. Just touch them lightly on the shoulder. If you're a man, just take a hand. Just touch them lightly without being offensive. And you pray with me. If you're touching them, you believe this with me. Father, we just thank You for healing tonight. We thank You for the power of the finished work of Jesus in the bodies of Your people. Every person that stood in this place should be healed in Jesus' name. Every sickness, every weakness, and every infirmity, You come out of them. In the authority of Jesus' name, You leave their bodies now. Spirit of God, come right now. Thank You into the people. Every person standing, be made whole. Father, I thank You that weak things are made strong. Things that haven't worked right work amazingly well. Hold this all through this room. In Jesus' name. Man, that's really good. Holy Spirit, I thank You for moving in the people right now. I thank You that that young lady finds her body completely changed. Holy Spirit, come upon her. Thank You. That's good. Touch her. Bless her. And make her whole. Because You love her. Father, because You love her. In Jesus' name. Hold us all through this room. I thank You this thing can never come back. Father, I thank You. They're changed. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're standing, you just whisper out of your heart, or say in your heart, thank You, Father, for loving me. I thank You for doing a good thing in me. Thank You for making me whole. Don't be afraid to believe it. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And when I do that, it's just to get you in a place of relationship. Because honestly, I am not intimidated by what people don't believe.
It just doesn't have anything to do with the equation to me. The sign follows a believer. Not a person that's sick believing, the believer. It says, whatever city you're in, heal the sick there and tell them the kingdom's here. If you heal them before you tell them, they might not know a thing. We've made this thing so complicated that we've run into a wall of a lack of results and power. And the more we run into the wall, the more we complicate it and come up with reasons why. The average older minister has so much teaching on the realm of healing that they usually have three reasons why they're probably not going to get healed before they even pray just for caution. Jesus doesn't even know what we're doing, because he just heals the sick. I've seen people on the street say, well, I don't believe in healing. See, that's okay. I'm not even asking you to. Just let me pray. Just give me your hand.
Amen.
We'll go from that. Because what they believe could be subject to change. We had one man in a department store. It was actually writing. He was managing walking to the photo to get away from me. With total carpal tunnel and a brace, surgery in 2 days, no feeling whatsoever. And he said, we have one problem. I have one problem with what you're saying. And I thought he was going to say, I'm a manager and I can't let you pray for me because I'm overseeing it. And I thought he was going to say that. He said, we have one problem with what you're saying. And I said, what? He said, I don't believe anything you're saying. And I didn't even blink. I smiled and said, we don't have any problem. I believe in you. Give me your hand. Come on. Let's just pray.
Yeah,
because somehow we think what he doesn't see should determine what we do see. When the grace and faith in your heart is way greater than the blindness in any man. He's the light of the world. You're here to cause me to see. I don't do this rarely. I didn't do it arrogantly. His name was Tim. On his name tag, I said, Tim. He said, look, I got to go to photography. They're calling me. I need to go. I said, Tim? He said, yeah. He was a little frustrated. Yeah. I said, listen, man, I understand you don't understand. But you better check your hand on the way to photography. Because that guy coming here is my friend and we're going to pray. I believe God's causing your hand to come alive. That's what I said. He's walking away in disgust and unbelief. And somehow
it just didn't intimidate the Holy Ghost.
I love it. So we grabbed my little liquid soap and a couple of things I wanted to get. And I turned the corner to go pay for him. And I told him we were going to go and check on him. And when I turned the corner, he, the manager, yelled across the store. It's still the testimony of the town. People talk about it because it brought change. Because he's an unbeliever. Oops. I bet your mercy triumphs over judgment. I bet the blood of Jesus is speaking better things. I bet if I understand the mercy of God, I'll have mercy for him as God does. I bet you it doesn't have anything to do with what he doesn't see. I bet it has to do with the love God has for him for me. I bet you I can bring the kingdom because it's in me. I bet I can lay hands on the sick and they recover. It doesn't say unless, of course, if they don't believe in him. We've made this thing so complicated. So I turned the corner to go pay for my stuff and he yells across the store, now you're freaking me out. He said, now you have me really afraid. And he's standing there going like this. And I said, talk to me, man. He said, I have total feeling in my hand. How can this be? You are so freaking me out. He asked the question. He's the manager. He started it. I'm not trying to turn the store upside down. I'm not trying to be obnoxious and overtake the store. I just love one man called the manager. Now he's yelling across the store asking me a question. So I answered it loudly. You gotta know where grace is. I said, his name is Jesus, sir. And just because you don't believe in him or haven't doesn't mean he isn't real and doesn't love you. The reason your hand feels is because you're loved by God today through the blood of his holy son, Jesus. And I say stuff like, and the thing is, he lives in me, sir, and he wants to live in you.
I'm telling you, I will bring it right there in public. I was in airports, and I was just in Charlotte. You should have seen it. God healed this guy, and the whole place around was aware. Not because I preached that, because he freaked out. 80 people. And a man that could hardly bend, hardly move. For 39, 40 years. Sounds like the gate of beautiful. Pulled the vest. He stood there and cried and moaned and moved his body
as a uniform. In the corridor of Charlotte Airport, we've ever been there?
I love that stuff. It's called Christianity.
Amen. It's called not being caught up with flight schedules and am I on time? No, it's a crowded flight. I hope I have a seat. I hope I didn't overstay. I hope I get home. No, it's called I love people because the one in me really does. Who's sick in here? And if you were you, you'd be able to check and you would know if something changed. You got bone-on-bone arthritis stuff. You got rheumatoid. You got something wrong that if you were healed, you would know it. You can't hear out of your ears or an ear. Something. Stand to your feet. Please. I didn't mean that. Hope you didn't hear that. Stand to your feet. So if you guys were healed in any way, you'd be able to tell in your body? Everybody standing? Good. There's my knee. Pastor, we didn't talk about this, but if you hear me out, I think you'll see it's real clean. And if you're uncomfortable in any way, it doesn't make you unspiritual, you pastor of this house, you let me know, okay? What I'd like to do is get the people sitting, the ones that are sitting, to come stand with each one of you. And then what I'd like them to do, I'm going to give them a little instruction to pray something. Really simple, so nobody, no weirdness is going on. Because we don't know everybody in the house, guys. And it's rare to just let everybody get involved. But Jesus wants us to get involved and learn and grow. So if we can keep this thing clean and do this, don't bring your ministry, training, don't bring other beliefs. All I want is in the name of Jesus, be healed. Or be healed in Jesus' name. So we're going to do something in a second. The people standing, we're going to do this quick. It won't be real, real long. The people standing, raise your hands real high. Because we don't want to lose you in the crowd. Now listen, don't be uncomfortable if you're sitting. I'm not mandating you, and we're not going to judge you if you don't help me. But I'd love you to help, and you're in the safest atmosphere. And it would be awesome for you to get involved. It would be fun. Because you can't go wrong. You're just stepping out of faith. So the people sitting, you're really my prayer team if you'd help me. I'd love you guys to get up one-on-one and just cover the people. And when they just go to somebody and say, hey, you're mine. And when you claim them, put your hand down. When somebody claims you and says you're mine, put your hand down. Can we cover everybody? I think we can. Don't pray yet. Just look here. We're going to do this as a family. It's going to be so much fun. Anybody that's sitting that can help me, there's a couple people with their hands up. Do we have everybody? Who don't we have? Who has no one to claim them yet? I got this lady over here. I got a man and a lady in the aisle here. Can I have anybody claim them? You can pray for the... Are you husband and wife?
Yes.
Yeah. You can pray for both of them, man. God will save this one. I promise. Do we have everybody claimed? That's awesome. You guys are great. You jumped right up. Now here's the deal. Your prayer never has, never will heal anybody, okay? Now look, we're in this house, Life Gate House. You might not be from here. We're actually letting you get involved as a family of God. That's awesome. A lot of times a pastor has to be careful of that because we don't know what people are, where they're coming from, what they're telling people, what they're praying. So that's why we don't open it up. It's not because pastors are controlling. It's because they're protective. Amen. Yeah. But tonight, here's the deal. I don't want anybody praying anything other than, in a second I'm going to get you to find out why they stood with simple stuff. In fact, do that. Take 3 seconds. Look at the person and say, what can I pray for? Why are you standing? And look right back up here. You take 3 seconds. Say, what are you believing for? What are you believing for? What are you believing for? Tell them, give them a 3-second version. Okay? Are you standing with her? Are you mama? Is there somebody that can come pray for this young girl other than mama? Not that you don't qualify, mama. Is there somebody that would stand with her and pray? It would be awesome. Oh, thank you, buddy. Tim, right? You. Stand with her. Look, this is going to be awesome. You all found out why you're praying? Does everybody know? You guys are so good. You're like, I see 3 seconds and you're doing like 2. You guys are amazing. Here's what I want you to do. I'm just going to use an example. Say they said to you, I'm bone on bone in my knees and it's hard to walk and I got a lot of pain. Let's just say that's what they told you. My knees are degenerating. Here's a simple example. Knees should be healed. Pain you go in Jesus' name. Now come on. You're not drumming anything up. There's no hype in that. That is a simple, sincere response to what you believe is the will of God through the finished work of Jesus.
Do you get it?
Come on, so I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit wants to encourage us to start stepping out and be simple, sincere people. Some of us carry too much pressure in this arena because we say, wonder if nothing happens. Isn't that what people do? There's people that won't pray for the sick because they say, wonder if nothing happens. And guess what you get for not praying for the sick?
What you're fearing?
So you already got nothing. So you're saying, I ain't praying, just wonder if nothing happens, and the whole time you got nothing. We probably ought to do something about that. Because here's the deal. Don't turn faith into a point in time ever. Faith is the position of your heart to believe what he accomplished. I always pray for right now. I always believe somebody's body's going to change. It's just what I believe is the will of God. I want to grow in it. I want my experience to be what I see in that Bible. I've seen people not get changed all the way. I've seen people get changed somewhat and go on and change as we release faith and tell them, hey, this is awesome. Why do you think it got better? Well, God, yeah. It's the ones that don't change that troubles the most because we want people healed, right? And you and I, if you've ever spent time praying with the sick, have gone through that emotion. Believe me. As I'm involved, I've been on the front lines of this thing since I've been saved. I was 3 months saved. 3 months, guys, come on. And I saw God put a disc in the back that wasn't there. I was 4 months saved, got a word of knowledge. Didn't even know what it was and couldn't have taught on it. Where did it come from? Love. I was in the bedroom pursuing to be like him. And he said, okay. So he trusted the word to love. And I got a word from a 40-year-old man that was going in for double mesh wire in the morning through his abdomen wall because it was all degenerating and he had a hernia the size of an arm. I had the great honor at 4 months old in the Lord for a word of knowledge which I couldn't have taught him. Put my hand on the hernia and it went closed under my hand. I went on and saw so many things since then, but there's a lot of things I didn't see that. There's children I prayed for that were supposed to die and they died. There's children I prayed for that were supposed to die and they did. I'm not going to build on what hasn't happened. I'm going to build on what God's doing, what I see in that book, and what Jesus called me to. And I'm going to keep my heart and never make this about me, but his love towards people through me. So if I don't see something change, I tell that person, if you were walking down the street, man, and you were limping, and I prayed and you say, no, man, it still hurts. I'd say, well, listen, you're heading back to work, right? Yeah, I got to go, man. Thanks for letting me pray for you. I appreciate the honor. Just let me touch you. Here's the good news. Mark says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm expecting good things, man. Bless you. And when you walk away, sometimes it ain't till you walk away that he goes, man, there ain't no string to that. There ain't no catch. He did that for me. It seemed like he cared for me. It seemed like he loved me. All of a sudden you release the voice of the Holy Spirit to his life. All of a sudden the presence of God come over him and say, I've loved you from the beginning. And I will say, ah! And you're off in your car driving. And if you're not careful, you think nothing happened. No, it's an honor to believe. It's an honor to release faith. It's an honor to not make it about me, but make it about Christ in me, the hope of glory. Okay, so all I want is simple prayers. Now watch this. I'm going to give you about 15 seconds. That's not to control Holy Spirit. That's to make sure you don't get self-conscious. See, we can't go wrong in 15 seconds, man. Okay? Now here's all I want you to do. You pray for 15 seconds for whatever they told you from your heart and just address it. If it's rheumatoid arthritis, you leave their body. Hurt no more in Jesus' name. Come on, you can do that in 5 seconds. But you got 15 seconds. I'm going to stop you in 15 seconds, all right? So just wind down by then. And the people that we're praying for, and when I stop you, all I want you to do is, Father, thank you that you love me. Thank you for what you do. You're so good. And then I want everybody that was standing, because everybody standing can check. I want you to take your time and check. Don't do a calisthenic. Don't stretch and force. Great. If you're healed, grace will let you know. You check that thing. If you weren't able to lift your shoulder, you just start lifting that thing. And if it locks up, don't get your friend to push it. Just start raising it, okay? And then we're going to find out what's happening in this room. If you couldn't hear out of your ear, test it with them as best you could. Just saw a lady, couldn't hear. Boom, ears popped right open. We just saw a lady couldn't walk from a stroke. Walk right in front of the whole church. It was rather fun. Why? Because people stood up and stood with folks and dared believe and got involved. And guess what God said? I like this. This is my people in action. This is the body of Christ. Wasn't because I lined everybody up in my gifting. It's just teaching, training, and equipping. And Jesus said, way to go, guys. I love you. Are you all ready?
You've been ready, haven't you? I'm just trying to do my part, teach instead.
We're going to pray, and I don't want any exaggeration in the room. I don't want anybody saying they're healed to make the person that prayed for them feel better. We want you better. We don't want you exaggerating. Revelation says you lie, you fry. I want no friars tonight. I want you healed. Are you ready? Okay. Look at him before you pray real quick. And just know this. Jesus gave his life for that person. And the reason he heals is because he loves through the forgiveness of sin and his precious blood. Amen? Go ahead. Pray for him to be healed. Whatever has to do with the situation. You got 15 seconds. Give him the kingdom. In Jesus' name. Thanks, Father. Thank you, God. Thanks for what you did. Thanks for making all things new. Thanks for encouraging me. In Jesus' name, thank you. Thanks for healing all things. God, thank you. That's good. Wind it down. Just begin to thank God that he loves you. Thank you. Now go ahead. We're done. We got 15 seconds in. Go ahead and start checking your bodies all through this place. Just check them. Take a minute. Check them. Just thank him as you're checking it. Don't be quick. Don't say, oh man, nothing changed. Just check it. Talk to the Lord. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. God, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Go ahead. Check it. Now I want to see. I want you guys to talk to me. Be real honest. What's changing in the room? Who feels changed in the room right now? And you know it changed. I'm going to just do this real quick. Yell out real loud what happened. What changed? You had symptoms of that from the menopause, but you had a heaviness on you. You had a
really bad heaviness. I had pain in my body.
Pain in your body when they prayed. When they prayed, the pain was there before they prayed.
Before they prayed.
Wow. Yeah. So it's gone.
And I can't, today I was there at home and I just heard about coming here and I told the Lord, I am going to receive and that's what I came here for. And I know.
Stretch your hands to her real quick, guys. Father, we thank you. It'll never come back. We just thank you. The blessing of the Lord, just the freedom of mind. And Father, I thank you that you turn her heart on and make her so alive. God, I thank you that you make her life productive without her striving, without her trying. I'm asking, Lord, that you reveal yourself to her in such a way that this light so shines that people have an attitude change, a disposition change because of what you've done in her life. So God, I bless her and I thank you for the healing and I thank you for the increase in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Who else raised their hand? Who else got changed? What happened? What changed?
While we were talking, my knee actually
caught.
And then
while I was talking, Holy Ghost does that stuff.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? Now watch. She said, while I was talking, she felt her knee pop, and then when she prayed, the pain diminished. See, when you're sharing simple truth, and you're not, it's just the love of God. Holy Spirit's like, he's just amazing. And sometimes he just can't wait. He's like, it's just how he does. But it popped while I'm talking and the pain diminished. Isn't that awesome? So watch this. You just thank God he made you whole, that you're going to be able to do steps and up and down and get down, pick some on the stair, and you just thank him for it and expect that to be that way. Amen? Who else? You know you changed when we prayed. Yeah? What changed, honey? Migraine? You had one when they prayed?
I felt
the grace. Oh, good. That's so good. Have you got the migraine things often? Is that something that comes? Stretch your hands to her. I'm staying in her house.
This is fun.
Father, we just thank you. These will never come back. I'm telling you, kiddo, they ain't coming back. I've seen this too much. I haven't been doing this 2 weeks, man. I've been doing this a long time. I'm telling you, he loves you. And they are not coming back. In the name of Jesus, you be free and you be released. Don't you look over your shoulder. Don't you expect to come. The goodness of the Lord has come. You keep walking in the scripture. You keep walking in increased revelation and understanding. But affliction and pain is not yours. He took it upon himself. And you're going free.
Thank you, Jesus.
So we declare you free.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we just thank you day after day after day.
Thank you, Jesus.
The grace and blessing of the Lord.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Who else? Check your body. If you checked it and didn't see it all the way changed, check it again. You'll be amazed how they'll change if you'll just check it by faith again. You?
Yes.
What happened, man?
I crushed my left leg in
30 years? For 30 years, you've had nonstop pain and awareness that you damaged your body that bad. So what are you telling me, man? That you don't feel well? No? Okay. Yeah, because you just did that like you weren't afraid to do that. How's your knee feel? Okay. But do you feel noticeably different in your body? And that's why you're testifying. Do you feel little touches of pain still? Be honest. How about your knee? Okay. Stretch your hands to him, guys. I just believe God's going to take it all away. Yeah. Yeah. That gentleman right there in the plaid, right back, two back from Tim Mayer. Come on up here, bud. Just put your hand right in the middle of his back and just pray that what you're believing. No more pain. No more pain. Just say it. No more pain in Jesus' name. Completely whole. As if you never had an accident. Jesus, your Lord, because you love him. In Jesus' name, be whole. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Father God. Ben, check it. Just move around a little bit. Check it. Flex it around. Move it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Sit down a little bit. Yeah. Are you limited in the use of that? What couldn't you do? Check your ankle. Have you checked your ankle? And we've seen people, fusions and everything, man, move and bend. Check your ankle. What was weak? What couldn't you do? Is there more mobility now? Check it. Yeah. God's changing your body. Yeah. How's your back feeling, all that movement and stuff?
Thank you,
Jesus. Is that your wife back there? So... See, he's normally not this limber and can't usually move like this and stuff.
Yeah.
Is there a difference? Am I going to see him anymore this weekend? Are we going to see him anymore this weekend? Or? Oh, really? Awesome. So we want to find out. Because here's the deal. You're going to leave, up, down, sleep, wake. Man, I just bless you, man. Father, I thank you. He sleeps unobstructed. I thank you he doesn't have to find that comfortable spot and then have to find it again. I thank you, God, he sleeps undisturbed because of the grace and peace of heaven is upon him. I thank you his body is at rest in you. And I thank you no more pain. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Yeah.
You talk to me more and tell me how you're doing, okay? Anybody else we didn't talk to? Yeah? What's going on, honey? Hey, you had that big thing on. What was wrong? Did you take it off? Did you feel comfortable taking that off? Why were you learning? Bus fracture. That's all from... So you didn't have a lot of mobility? Okay, so it's still stiff, it's still sore. Yeah, but when you stretch it, don't actually breathe for it. When you're healed, grace shows you. It's not a physical therapy. Let's pray for her right now. Come up here, honey. So you just took that off just to check to see if you could. Okay, so you're wearing it really for support and stuff. And so it wasn't nothing wrong with taking it off. Bring this guy in.
Florida. It was, I'm not telling you any of this. I didn't even know we did it.
As a young guy, he had a hard cast on. We did this prayer time, right? He goes up to Pastor with fire in his eyes. He says, Pastor, I got to get this off. I got to find a way to get this off. God just mended my bones. He said, now, son.
And I would have said it too. He said, son, just, you know, when they cut that off, you'll find your heel. You know, because we're not even telling people to do this stuff.
This young guy in zeal, he goes, gets a couple friends. They find like this wire kind of thing. He sticks it in the plaster, and they have it all recorded. He cuts the whole thing off. He had a broken arm. Now, when you get your cast off, you have atrophy, and you have stiffness, and you need therapy. They pop the thing off right on the video, and he goes, see, dude, I told you, Jesus. And he comes up to church, testifies, he's a guitar player, he jams on his guitar. And a minute ago, he had a hard cast and a broken hand. Wow. Just fun stuff. Let's pray for her that God right now would loosen, heal, and restore whatever's tight, sore, and bruised. Because a fracture, it's a real thing. It's not a makeup thing. It's a real thing. It was an injury. So why don't you touch your little lap? Father, we just thank you right now for healing you. Father, we ask, just make her whole, God. Absorb and take away every trace of injury, pain, stiffness. Father, I thank you she can bend and flex her arm like it was never, ever fractured. God, like there was never trauma. Thank you. Thank you. Arm, you be whole. You bend, you flex without restriction and without pain. Father, thank you for a brand new arm. In Jesus' name. Thanks, God.
Hallelujah.
Just take those little things. There's no wrong answer. Just don't force it. Yeah, I don't want you to force it. Okay. So you're just supposed to wear that thing for, okay, here's what I want you to do. It's not like a thing. You put that thing on, you go out of here, you take it off at night, you go to sleep with it, or do you sleep with it? You do? Okay. As you want, you just talk to the Lord. Thanks for what you're doing, my heart. Thank you, God. You know what I'm saying? My nephew went on a trip with us, flew the whole way across the country. He wrecked on a four-wheeler, had his arm in one of them, and his arm was just like this. And on the plane, I could tell it was wincing. I said, you're in a lot of pain. He said, yeah, his grandma is my sister-in-law, so she knows me. And she's like, don't you be telling me to take that thing in my grandma. I don't do that. She just knew I was going to pray for him, right? So I said, listen, man, I'll pray for you. I know grandma will have it up. But I'm asking you, we just pray. He's sitting on the plane. No, we didn't take it off. He says, hey, Uncle Dan. I said, what? He said, can I take this off and show you something? I said, what are you doing? You're going to get me in trouble with grandma, what's going to do? He said, no, I've got to show you something. He says, again, first off, he goes, look. And he's on the plane. He's like, look. It's all new to him. I don't ever see him. I see him once every 2 years.
So this is my shot to love him, you know?
He's gone. I said, what do you think? He said, but it wasn't 9/11. It was just he's sitting there, we pray, we're halfway through the flight, and he starts calling. He's checking it. And every time I listen, something's different. So here's what you gotta understand about prayer. You're never running a risk when you pray for this young lady with an arm like this. You're always releasing the kingdom. You're always releasing the hope in God. You're always releasing the love of God. Faith is not a point in time. It's not a hit, miss, win or lose, maybe God will, maybe God won't. It's thank you, Jesus, for loving her and restoring her. You release her in that faith, or you keep looking at her arm and keep striving, and now you're in unbelief and trying too hard. Or you get a grip on your heart and God's will and say, Father, thank you for what you're doing in her.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you send her out of here with one option. Thanks for loving me, Lord. Thanks for restoring my arm and doing me and God, I just give myself to
God. This is a good place to be.
You got a lot out of the message tonight.
You were like a little bird in a nest. You were listening.
So this, I'm just taking time and teaching so we're not discouraged. So yeah, you can slip that thing back on And she said, it feels different, it feels better, but I want her to wear that thing. That's not unbelief. And I want her to check it as she goes. You see what I'm saying? Is there anybody else we missed that you know you changed? You changed somewhat. Okay. Okay, good. Yeah? So you felt noticeable change to where you feel like testifying. Still a little bit there. In public. Yeah, it's awesome. In public, when I pray for people, if it's better but not all the way there, what would be the normal thing to do? Just pray again. Same thing. Bam. Right? Yeah?
My knees. I've had a lot of trouble with my knees. But this is the first time in months I've walked pain-free.
Pain-free. No pain. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Anybody else that I'm missing that felt some change? Yeah, man. Something changed? Yeah? I'll tell you, you were really listening tonight, buddy. I'm telling you, man, that was awesome. You were just a gift. You were priceless, man. I was looking over there like, check this guy out. I just was blessed by your heart. Like, you weren't taken back by anything I was saying. You were like, bring it. Wow, that makes sense. I could see it in you, man. You were listening, man. It's good. And your ankle feels different. Here's the last and final question. I know I keep going and going. Who felt no change when we prayed? Be honest. It's the same as it was the first time you prayed. Let me see. Don't listen. This is, we need to talk about this stuff because this will mess some folks up. Because here's what happens. I'm changed. I'm somewhat changed. Wow, I can do it. And then you can be standing there. If you don't understand, you're like, what's wrong with me? How come I'm here? What's wrong with me? What? Come on. The people that prayed for you.
What we're doing wrong. Maybe we only did him because we did pray. Things move, man.
Is that what we do? We get ourselves in a jam. Listen, whether you feel completely changed or don't feel changed at all, same gospel, same response. Faith isn't a point in time. We're not putting him on and putting him off. You love me. You're doing a good work in me. When you start soul searching and what am I doing and something must be blocking, you're actually jeopardizing a solid identity. Rooted and grounded in love. Faith works through love. You're actually demeaning yourself, making yourself a problem or a hidden problem. Come on. In your relationship with him, if that was the case, don't you think he could show you that? Without you going searching at the cost of your identity? No, here's what you lock into. There was a season where for 11 days I drug my leg around and had zero use for it with her. It swelled up and was twice the size of my leg. Preached the same gospel, dragging my leg. I saw 8 people healed in those 11 days that were prayed for over 100 times for a condition that never changed. Prayed for them, saw them change, and I'm still dragging my leg. Why? My leg has no power to define who I am or who he is.
Amen.
Who he is the truth about my leg.
Amen.
And I got my eyes fixed on him. You follow me? Same smile, same joy. Just didn't have the leg. Had leaders in my life saying, look at your leg. I said, when do you preach that from the pulpit? And they're like, well, Dan, you need to this, you need to that. Well, look at your leg. Well, how come the devil can touch you like this? I said, maybe you ought to look at my eyes and tell me if he's touching me. But the best he can do is touch my leg. It's not until you get into my heart that you win. When you get into my heart, maybe you win. I said, look at my eyes and tell me if he's touching me. And they're like, oh.
Well, I tell you what,
under the last couple days, I run 5 miles a day. I'm doing good. Still got my leg and we're doing fine. Amen? So if you didn't feel any change, I want to bless you right now and speak faith over you. And I want to give you, we usually take a little more time with this, but I'm way too late already. But lift your hand if you felt no change. And don't be embarrassed about that, because it doesn't change you or God's love for you. Okay? Now watch this. I'll pray a simple prayer of faith. I want you to leave here with one response, please. I can take the time and tell you some awesome testimonies. I've been long enough. You leave here tonight with one response. Father, you love me and you're for me. Thank you, God, that those folks prayed for me, lay hands on the sick, they recover. I'm receiving your grace, and I thank you for your unfailing love. God, thanks for making things new. So, Father, I bless them, and I thank you their bodies are changing, and I thank you they've completely changed. Father, I thank you for healing in this house. I thank you that this house stands strong in a manifest healing with God. I thank you, Father, that we go after it, we receive it and believe it, not because we're working for it, because we see it. Because we see it, God.
Amen.
And I thank you that even in these times when nothing seems to change, we don't know how to get discouraged. We just thank you for what you're doing.
Praise
and we just stay in our faith.
Yes.
And God, I thank you that every person tonight leaves here with joy in their heart and says, you really love me, Father. When they crawl in bed, I thank you, Father, they say, God, I thank you for what you're doing in my body. Thanks for what you're doing in my life. Thank you that you love me. Come on, guys, that sure beats questioning this life. That sure beats looking at your body and asking a bunch of questions when you already have an answer. In Jesus' name, I pray for you. Be whole.